Ted's Bar and Grill, Gilligan's 2, the CD Rams Club, the Panther Ram Foundation, Ricker Construction, St. Thomas Roasters, and Kerman Eye Associates. Now let's take it out to the game. Here's Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy.
From the Speedway in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, it is the District 3 Quad A quarterfinals tonight. Here, Central Dauphin 9-2 will host 9-2 Lower Dauphin. Eric Thomas with you here. My usual partner tonight, Brian Kaiser, is on assignment for PCN. So joining me for the broadcast here tonight is Steve Leedy. And Steve, here we go. District quarterfinals, defending champ on the other sideline here tonight, Lower Dauphin and Central Dauphin. First time these two teams have met in about 5 years. And at stake, a berth in the district semifinals next Friday night. This should be a pretty entertaining game here tonight.
Yeah, it should be. I expect points to be at a premium here tonight. I think both teams want to come out here. They want to run the ball. They want to keep possession, you know, keep the time possession in their favor. This Lower Dauphin defense, I mean, last year's team was so good. One of the better defenses that we've seen in the last, you know, maybe 10, 15 years in this area. They lost some from that group, but it's still a pretty good defensive unit. So it's going to be interesting to see which team tonight is going to be able to move the ball, maybe get a lead in this game. I think scoring first in this game is going to be pretty big for both of these schools tonight.
Yeah, it could very well be. Lower Dauphin comes off a very, very tough and emotional and very strong effort against Cedar Cliff last week. They were able to get revenge for that early season loss to the Colts over at West Shore Stadium last Saturday night. They did it on the heels of Georgia Talowich running out of the Wildcat formation, and their offensive line looked very strong in that game, and we expect to see a lot of that here tonight against Central Dauphin's defense. CD comes into this game after beating Reading last week, and we will hear from both head coaches. We'll hear first from Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee and then from Lower Dauphin head coach Rob Clock. Kickoff's about 13, 14 minutes away. You'll hear it all live here tonight on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com. This is the District 3 quarterfinals live from the Speedway here tonight on 91.1 FM.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dauphin football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill, two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
Down here in the field with Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. And coach, here we are, district quarterfinals. Lower Dauphin the other side. You had a chance last Saturday night to go over there. Actually, I had the chance to sit with you to watch that game against Cedar Cliff. What are your thoughts on Lower Dauphin here tonight?
Well, it was a heck of a football game. It was two teams in a rematch, and that's always interesting. And Lower Dauphin did a fantastic job. And when we got to prepare and watch even more film on them, it was no surprise. They have a lot of good players, and they have a good football team. Very well coached, very disciplined.
They are sort of unheralded a little bit, but Rob has had a really good run at Lower Dauphin, has had a couple of district championships, eight playoff appearances now, closing in on 100 wins for his career as head coach there. When you look at them, do you sort of see, what type of program do you see? Do you see the one that I just described to you, or do you see the one that's still kind of fighting for a little bit of respect here?
Tremendous program, tremendous coaching staff. Rob Clock, he's a good person and a good coach. We do a 7-on-7 against him every summer. It's the only 7-on-7 we do because we know it's going to be good competition, well coached. There's not going to be any shenanigans. kids because they have discipline. And when you say unheralded, I don't know how other people see it, but not in our eyes. And we have the utmost respect, and we had to work very hard this week just to put ourselves in position to have a good night tonight.
They also are a little bit different compared to last year. Maybe defense isn't as strong, but they're able to throw the ball and balance out their offense a little bit more than what they were a season ago, more of a run-oriented. But they still love to run the football, and you saw that firsthand last Saturday over at West Shore Stadium. Their running attack, three-tiered, Kyle Walker, David Hamadi, and also George Talowitz. What type of challenges do they present to your defense tonight?
To me, it starts with their guys up front. They have an outstanding offensive line and a very experienced offensive line. Several of those guys were there last year for their district championship team, and you just mentioned the running backs. Talowitz is the one who's gotten the most carries, and he does a fantastic job. What a tough runner, patient runner. And the quarterback is the coach's son, so you know he's grown up around it. He knows the system like the back of his hand, and there's a special advantage there too, which creates that balance you're talking about.
When you get up, and you've been in this position as head coach here before, when you get in the position where you're the defending district champions, what type of mentality does that give your football program? What type of mentality does it give the coaching staff now that you're in that position to defend a title? Tell us a little bit what you think Rob might be going through here tonight.
Well, I think it gives you a certain sense of confidence, and I think we saw that at West Shore Stadium last week. You know, they took that football field as the Quad A District 3 champions, and they played that way, and they're going to play that way again tonight. And our kids are going to have to really buckle up tight and play hard.
Running game for you last week, very efficient. Riley Serb obviously had a good effort, as we expected. Control Armor got in the mix there a little bit, but your quarterbacks also ran the ball pretty well, as expected last week as well. What type of momentum have they been able to carry over this week?
Some good momentum. Very pleased with the way we played last week, as I mentioned in that post-game interview. Very pleased with our enthusiasm, our effort, and the execution. We did a nice job with all of that. Hopefully that's something that we can build upon going into this week.
Do you sense that this team has still yet to play its best game? And if that's the case, is that what you think might be fueling them and kind of gets them to understand what's you know, down the line here if they keep going?
I do feel that way. And what's neat is I think our kids see it that way. And last week, I think, was a step in that direction. But I think everybody on our team, coaches and players alike, know that there's that next step that can be taken. And that's exciting because it gives you something to work towards. And we had a good week of practice, and I'm hoping that we can see that next step tonight on the field.
You had a bunch of guys that were named to the All-Mid-Penn team this week, a couple guys in the first team, but defensively, Steve McNeil was named the MVP. His stats aren't going to, obviously, he doesn't have 15 and a half sacks. He doesn't have 23 tackles for loss like some other guys in the defense do. But just what did it mean to you for him to get recognized for that?
Well, he's had a tremendous career. He has over 300 tackles. He's been over 100 tackles each of his three seasons playing for us, and that consistency alone says a lot. As a senior, he has done a nice job calling the huddle. And again, he's very productive. He's always going hard, and that experience has helped him to play smart, not just tough, but also smart. And when you put it all together, he's been a valuable player for us on defense.
When you see a lot of your defenders get recognized by those two teams, Micah Parsons, one of them, Malik Fry, mentioned Steve, some of those other guys that get recognized, what does that mean to you? Because the defense this season has been one of the best in the state at the Quad A level all season long.
Well, it means a great deal that other people recognize what we've recognized, that our kids work very hard at being coachable, practicing hard, and trying to get better and better, not only as individuals, but team defense. And I'm very pleased with the way we play team defense. Those guys are bought into the concept. They may not make the tackle, but by doing their job, the tackle will be made. And a lot of credit goes to our defensive coaching staff. I wish they had all conference for assistant coaches, because every one of them would be all conference.
Your roster might make that, I guess.
No question. No doubt about it.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you after the game tonight. That is Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee here on the pregame show on WMSS FM 91.1 and WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club. The CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team.
Down here on the field with Lower Dauphin head coach Rob Clock. And coach, defending district champs, here you are at Central Dauphin, a team that you don't see a whole lot of, haven't seen for a couple of years now, but you guys are well on your way here taking the next step to possibly defending your title?
Yeah, it's interesting. With them being in the Commonwealth, us being in the Keystone, we don't get a chance to play every year. It's been quite a few. But we do work out with them, actually, over the summer. We 7-on-7 with them. We've got a great relationship. So this is going to be a friendly mental game, but it's still going to be a very physical football game because that's both of our styles.
You've had a week to digest your game against Cedar Cliff last week. What did that win mean to this program just after what had happened midway through the season, end of September there, to kind of get back there, get on their field, and do what you guys did last week? How much did that mean to this team?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice redemption. It was a great victory, but we had to remind the kids very early in the week, it's over. It's over. We have a huge opponent here with CD. You know, they're good, and we just had to focus on that all week. We actually had a very good week of practice. We're excited about this, and kids came to play ball.
You've got a lot that are held over from last year's district championship team. What has that meant to you now? They've been here. They've done this before. They've gone on the road before. They've had to win tough games before. They've had to win rematches before. But what does it mean now that you've had this crew for a second year coming back here? How much easier has that made your job?
Yeah, it has. Like George Italowicz started last year as a sophomore, and now he's back. He's played a lot of football games over the past 2 years. All of our seniors, they got a chance to play one playoff game their sophomore year. Last year we had 14 football games this year. So, yes, it is definitely an advantage. You don't realize it. You know, the season is long, and these kids kind of lead the younger kids, and we're very pleased about that. You know, you adjust some things late in the season. You don't go quite as long at practice. We don't hit quite as much as we normally do. But the older kids have kind of stepped up, and the leadership is really there. Very similar to last year, quite frankly.
A lot of teams that come here for playoff game, regular season, have told us in the past, we want to be what we're seeing across the field from us tonight. You guys are not in that position. You've had a really good run the last, you know, 12, 13 years here. A lot, eighth playoff appearance now, a couple district championships. Yet, do you guys still feel like you have to kind of earn some respect?
Well, let's be honest. CD is a powerful program. They won a state championship a few years ago. So, yes, quite honestly, you know, we do. We hold them with some esteem. I think there's a lot of mutual respect. But, yeah, I think whoever wins this football game, you do deserve a pat in the back. And, quite frankly, I think both coaching staffs will do that. We'll respect each other. And same thing with the kids. They know each other. But between the whistles, this is going to be a battle. We told the kids all week, prepare for war, because that's what this is going to be.
The mentality of your football team may have changed a little bit this year because you've been able to throw the ball with a little bit more efficiency this season, but there's still that toughness, and still it's still a run and defensive-minded football team. How much fun has that been to coach? And just maybe you got to win some close games, but it's got to be a lot of fun to just throw your defense out there and know you can trust them.
Yeah, it has been, and you're right. Our defense has always been our staple. It's always been there. It's our foundation. This year, the offense, I mean, last year we had a lot of fun with our run scheme. Troy Spencer did some special stuff, but this year we can do multiple, and yeah, we're getting better at it every week, so we're very pleased. But you're right, it's absolutely a lot of fun. We scheme every week. You know, last year we basically did what we did. There wasn't a whole lot of scheming. We could adjust a couple formations and things like that, but quite honestly, our meetings were kind of boring. This year, no, we can be creative. We can get after it. Ed Romano's having a lot of fun as our offense coordinator. Greg Kratzer contributes all kind of stuff on the offensive side of the ball, so yeah, we're having a lot of fun.
And you obviously last week ran George Italowicz a lot out of that Wildcat formation. Can we expect to see a whole lot of that tonight? And what has that done for your offense here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think ideally the goal is we'd like to mix it up, you know, be very unpredictable, run people out there, run the Wildcat. You know, we keep Tommy on the field sometimes when we run Wildcat. The kids truly enjoy it. That's what's kind of cool. The linemen get a kick out of it, and it's fun. So, yes, it brings a different element to the game. But, yeah, you're going to see it tonight. Maybe not as heavy, but we're going to try to be intermittent, try to mix it in the middle of a drive somewhere.
Coach McNamee told us that he expects a very low-scoring, defensive-minded football game. Is that kind of what you're thinking, too?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with him on that one. Last week, I was very excited we could keep Cedar Cliff to 18 points because the Brennan kid is special. Yeah, I would anticipate not a whole lot of scoring here. I would love to see it, especially in blue, but we'll see.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you after the game.
Great,
that's Lord Offen, head coach Rob Clock here on the pregame show.
Herman Eye Associates has been serving Hummelstown in the central Pennsylvania area since 1958. Herman Eye provides general and specialized vision examinations to their patients. They also have eyeglasses, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Herman Eye has solutions for all of your eye care needs. Herman Eye is accepting new patients, and the Herman family are proud LD alumni. That's Herman Eye, 29 West Main Street in Hummelstown. Their number is 566-3216.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
We're still fresh after 30 years in the making. This is WMSS Middletown.
Stadium, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. You've heard from the coaches. Now it's time for kickoff as the District 3 quarterfinals will get underway. The winner of tonight's game will take on either Governor Mifflin or Cumberland Valley, and we'll keep an eye on all the scores for you tonight. There's nine games going on between all four classifications. Single A will get underway tonight as they had the week off last week. Central Dauphin will kick off tonight. Jake Kirshner will have it teed up at the 40-yard line right between the hashes. Rams are decked out in their all-green home uniforms, white trim, white numbers, green and white Ram logo helmet. Lower Dauphin in their all-road white uniforms with the blue numbers and the blue and white helmets. And back deep to receive for the Falcons on the near hash, it is Adam Zeiters. And over on the far side, I'll check the return man for you here in a second. Over with Zeiters, it is Clay Spencer. Glad to have you along here tonight on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com as we are about set here for kickoff tonight as Kirshner now has it teed up near hash. The run-up and the kickoff, and we are underway from Speed Ebersol Stadium. It's a knuckleball that will drop to one of the up men who will take it up to the 20, get across the 20, 25, and then up to the 29, and that's where lowered off and will start first here tonight. Falcons attack in the end zone to our right. That was Evan Morrill on the return for the Falcons. Take a look at that starting lineup now for Lower Dauphin. Across the offensive front, left to right, J.R. Borelli, Quentin Horting, Alex Stoner, Brock Wilson, and Ami Ramos are the offensive linemen. The wide receivers are Adam Zeiters and Adam Domovich. Tommy Clock will be under center in the shotgun, and we'll also see a heavy dose tonight of George Hatowich, the halfback out of that Wildcat set. First down, Clock in the pistol formation. Takes a low snap, looks to his far side. Pass is thrown. It is caught on the far side and up across the 35 after a gain of about five is Zeiters for his first catch of the afternoon.
Yeah, just a quick pass just to get him get his feet wet here. And a nice catch and run by Zeiters, setting up a second and four.
CD defense looks like this. The ends are Eli Robinson and Micah Parsons, Joe Williams and Leo Guzman in the middle. Outside linebackers are Mike Betts, Reed Albright. Inside it is Stephen McNeil, the Mid-Penn Commonwealth MVP defensively, and Adam Thornton. Out of the pistol again, a low snap again. The clock hands off to Italowicz across the 40, or up to the 40-yard line, across the 35 and up to the 39, officially on a gain of three, and that'll bring up third down and short with 11-11 to play in the first quarter.
That's what Lower Dauphin's going to want to do in this game. They're just going to want to ride the backs of the offensive line, try to push forward, and here's a big chance here at on a third down and about maybe a foot here for the CD defense if they can get a stop here.
Rams corners are Malik Fry and Gary Gaston, and the safety in his customary spot, Jordan Hatcher, the 6'1 senior. So here it is, third down and one officially, 39-yard line, clock in the pistol. He's got two receivers far side. Low snap again, hand off to the towel, which he is swarmed in the backfield as Joe Williams gets in there right away. Good penetration by the big guy, Williams, up the middle for the stop, and that will force a three and out and lowered off into punt with 10:27 to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, Joe Williams, the 6'5", 270-pound junior, just got right in the backfield and just nowhere to go, and a big statement early here by the Rams.
Malik Fry and Gaston, Gary Gaston will go back deep to receive the punt, each standing at a hash. Light pressure, punt gets away, Domovich gets a nice one away. It's going to take a lowered off and bounce, go down across the 30, and will be downed at the 28-yard line. So that's where CeeDee will start, first and 10. David Payton will get the start at quarterback tonight for the Rams. A.J. Millar will see a heavy rotation with Payton, but they go back to David Payton here for the playoff game. Rams offensive line, Dylan Hobbs and Evan Childs are the tackles. Amon Blythe, Leo Guzman, the guards. Enrique Armas is in the middle at center. It'll be Payton who will get the start at quarterback. We'll also see him working at wide receiver tonight. Mitch Nice and Deshaun Paul start at wideout in the backfield, of course. Stephen McNeil and Raleigh Serb. On first and 10 from the 28-yard line, Peyton is in the shotgun. He's got Serb to his left. He gives to Serb. Serb trying to find his way up the middle, and he will be stopped after a short gain on first down. That'll bring up second down. That lowered off in front. Jared Borelli and Ben Ross are the ends. Ross with 9 sacks and 14 tackles for loss this season. Chad Ray and C.J. Ramage in the middle. They are very active. They've combined for over 10 sacks this season. David Hamadi, Jake Brinzer, George Hatalowicz, and Bailey Shutt will be the linebackers. The secondary, Kyle Walker and Adam Zeiters patrol the corners, and Adam Domovich is your safety. Second and 10, so officially no gain. Armor goes in motion, or rather it's Serb in motion. He gets the handoff, tries to bounce to the outside, stiff arms the man. He's going to be taken down for a loss back to the 25.
He is taken down by David Hamadi, who was coming in on the right defensive side, and he just was able to bring him down by himself. That's kind of open field tackle that these guys, I've seen him 2 times this year. I saw him against Middletown. I saw him against Northern. And it's been hard for those, at least for those 2 teams, to do anything against this lower Dauphin team. Combined score of those 2 games, 118-0.
And that defensive front for lower Dauphin, they've combined the front 4 for 22 sacks for the Falcons this season. So Peyton in the shotgun, they go delay to Serb. Serb will get the carry, goes right between the hashes, gets across the 30, and is taken down. Gang tackle as he gets across the 30 up to the 32-yard line for a gain of 6. That'll bring up fourth down to the lower Dauphin defense, forcing a 3-and-out, and the Rams will punt for the first time tonight.
Yeah, you said that was just the delay counter there, and there was a little bit of a hole there, but a safe play on a 3rd down and 12 early in the game. And CD will play the field position game.
And we will not see either quarterback take many chances. Kirschner bobbles a snap, gets it. There's no pressure. He gets away a floater that's going to sail out of bounds. And we'll see officially where they mark it. It is going to be marked up at the 40-yard line. So LD is going to have really good starting field position.
And CD dodged a big bullet there, because if Lower Dauphin would have brought any sort of pressure, that one was going to be blocked, or Kirschner was going to be dropped back way in the backfield. So CD relatively lucky to see Lower Dauphin start on their own 40-yard line.
Second offensive possession for the Falcons here. They attack the end zone to our right. We are scoreless here in the opening minutes of this District 3 quarterfinal. It's Hatalowicz now in the Wildcat formation, receiver each way, as Hatalowicz will take the snap for the first time. He's going to roll out to his left side, gets a nice block from Brinzer. He's going to pick up 1 as he gets across the 40. He's actually stood up and driven back, but they're going to give him forward progress to the 41 on a gain of 1, and that'll bring up 2nd down and 9.
This is something that Lower Dauphin had used a lot last week in that game against Cedar Cliff. Has used Hatalowicz in the Wildcat.
7 100-yard rushing games this season for Hatalowicz, the 5'11 junior. They've definitely given him more of a workload this season. 188 carries. That was carry number 189 coming into tonight. He had 188. Clock back in the pistol again. Takes a snap, throws to his left, passes caught and short, just shy of that first down over on the far sideline. It'll be Colton Swartz, the 6'2 senior, with his first reception of the night.
And they are going to give him enough for the first down. They're going to mark him right at the midfield stripe. But another just a quick pass out on the left side. Clock 2 for 2 here early for 15 yards.
They scrapped the passing game last Saturday in the second half. 8 attempts for Tommy Clock in that game against Cedar Cliff, and then they did not throw a pass in the second half. Morrill and Domovich on the near side. They go with a wing far side. Pistol again for Clock. Deep back is Hatalowicz on 1st and 10 from midfield. Hand off Hatalowicz, running left. Takes on Adam Thornton, gets across the 50 into CD territory, and is stopped as he gets down to the 48 on a gain of 2, and that'll bring up 2nd and 8 with 6:47 to play in the first quarter. We are scoreless here. Second possession for LD. Falcons, of course, are the defending District 3 Quad A champs. Possibly a rematch looming with Cumberland Valley next week if both get through here tonight. That was a great game last year at Hershey Park Stadium to decide the District 3 championship. 2 receivers near side as Clock will be in the pistol on 2nd and 8 from the 48. Again, it's a low snap. He looks to his right. Now the junior is going to take off, run to his left. He's going to get hit, but he's going to pick up 2. Get down to the 46-yard line, another gain of 2, and that's going to bring up 3rd down and 6 with 6:08 to play in the first quarter.
That was good coverage downfield because Clock was, he was looking around downfield, and he didn't have his first or second option available, so he just had to duck and run because the pressure was getting there. And tough 3rd down and 6 here for Lower Dolphin.
Third and six from the Central Dolphin 46-yard line. Falcons attack the end zone to our right. They will send two to the far side, one near side. Clock in the pistol again. Deep back at Talwich. Third and six. Big third down now for the Falcons as the Talwich will go out to the left side. Clock looks that way. Fires. Passes. Caught over the middle by Donovich. Down to the 36-yard line and a big first down for the Falcons with 5:29 to go in the opening quarter.
Yeah, just hit Donovich on a slant. He was lined up way to the outside, and he drifted Hitalovich over that way to the left side to give the DBs and the safeties something else to think about, and it worked that time. Cleared the room for Domovich for a pickup of 10 yards.
Receiver each way, Hitalovich the deep back, clock in the pistol, first and 10 from the CD 36-yard line. Snap, again, it's low. They will go handoff this time to Hitalovich, and Reed Albright's right there to wrap him up and drop him as he will lose a yard back to the 37-yard line with 5:02 to play in the first quarter.
Just a good job by the CD defensive front. Everybody flowing to the football, and Talis just had nowhere to go. The green wall was up in front of him.
This is a Rams rushing attack that on the season, Steve, giving up 95.9 yards per game. But last week, even though they blew Redding out, 335 yards, all of the offensive yardage on the ground for Redding last week, 335 total. Second and 11 after the loss of one. Clock takes the handoff, throws out of the backfield. His pass is incomplete. That'll bring up third down as Adam Zeiters was the intended receiver on the far side.
First incompletion for Clock here as he's opened up 3 for 4. That time just too far in front of the intended receiver is Zeiters.
Now, we had the opportunity last season to see the Lower Dolphin play Bishop McDevitt. Remember that game? We were marked walking out of that stadium saying that if Lower Dolphin had a passing game last year, they have it this year with Clock. They're a remarkably different offense with the ability to throw the football consistently this season.
Yeah, they still don't like to do it, though. They like to keep it on the ground.
I'm not sure I'd like to do it with a Talwich in the backfield either as Clock goes back to pass on third and 11. Throws over the middle. It's a middle screen to Ross, the tight end. He gets it inside the 25 and is taken down at the 22-yard line on a 15-yard gain and a big first down conversion on third and 11 for the Falcons offense.
Yeah, it's a middle screen to the tight end there, and never a bad decision when you get the ball into the hands of Big Ben Ross because he is 6'2", 220 pounds of muscle to try to take down, and he fights his way forward to the 23 and gets the first down.
Just his fifth catch on the season for Ross. More of a threat defensively, but he's a big-time blocker along that front. Pistol handoff to Talwich, running right this time. High steps a man, gets down across the 20-yard line and is down at the 19 for a 4-yard pickup as the clock continues to wind as we're under 3 minutes or under 4 minutes now at 3:45 to go in the opening quarter.
One thing you can certainly see so far is these teams want to run, but it's going to be tough sledding. And the Talwich that time found a little hole because he hurdled a guy on the ground and still was only able to get 4 yards. That was one of the better runs of the game so far.
Falcons lineup double tight right. Talwich a deep back, two receivers far side, second and six from the CD19. Low snap again to Clock, fake the handoff, throws back. High pass, and it's over the head of his intended receiver that time, Colton Swartz. Dangerous pass. And I bring up again another third down, this time third and six with 3:15 to play in the opening quarter.
And we're trying to set up that flanker screen over on the left side that time. Just airmailed it dangerously over Swartz's head. Lucky for the Falcons, the cornerback over on that side didn't see it.
Another third down situation for the Falcons here. Third and six. As they have it on the CD 19-yard line now with 3:15 to go in the opening quarter. Hitalovich a deep back again. Pistol for Clock. Two receivers to the left. Double tight near side. Hand off Hitalovich on third and six. And Stephen McNeil is there to stop him at the line of scrimmage for no gain on the play. And that'll bring up fourth down with 3:06 and a running clock here in the first quarter.
And now we will see what they try to do. And I think it is going to be Antonio Heredia to come in to try to kick a field goal. I mean, last year you knew it was going to happen. It was going to be a Joe Julius field goal.
Heredia this season, two for four on field goals. His long is 26. This one's a little bit lengthier than that. It'll come into the uprights to our right Aiden Kassan, and it's blocked. Blocked at the line of scrimmage. Looks like Micah Parsons got a hand on that and knocked it away. A huge, huge stand by the CD defense on third down, and then to block the field goal on fourth down. And you're right, last season that was automatic for this Lower Dauphin team with Joe Julius, but now Heredia is 2 for 5 on the season, and that's Parsons' second block kick of the season. Remember in the opener, he had the block punt against Manheim Township.
Now, I was kind of surprised that they tried it there because they had success on that drive on third down. They were 2 for 2 up until the final field conversion.
Jet sweep with Serb on first down, picking his way for 2 yards, and you said it last series, tough sledding up front. That Lower Dauphin defense has yielded little to nothing here to Serb in the early going as he has stopped after a short game.
Yeah, it's, let's say, one or 2 yards in a cloud of dust, because that's all it seems, you know, either side is going to get here tonight.
LD defense very active again up front. Peyton stays in there at quarterback for the Rams. Man of motion away from us, Serb. Snap, fake to Serb. Peyton's going to cut out to the near side. David at the 30, 35. Taken down by Donovich as he gets up to the 40-yard line. And a big 17-yard conversion for the first down for the Rams with 1:45 to go in the first quarter.
That time they faked the handoff to Serb. And it was the keeper for Peyton come around the left side. Serb was in motion to the right. And he got lowered off into bite. There was nobody to contain him over around the left side. And he gets a good chunk of yards on the first down for the Rams.
Two receivers to the right. Peyton in the shotgun. Man of motion away from us. Serb gives to Serb. Serb trying to get a block from McNeil. Gets freed up on the far side. 45 midfield. Hit and taken out of bounds right at midfield by Hatalowicz. And he will have, and he should have, just enough for that 10-yard pickup and another first down for the Rams with a buck 23 to go in the first quarter. And he does.
Now CD has had success on back-to-back plays using Peyton and Serb speed around the edges. He's up front, you know, going straight up the middle. Hasn't really produced too much, so now the Rams experimenting with going outside, and we'll see if they go back to it.
Mitch Nice and Ryan Elliott line up wide near side. It's actually Elliott in the slot near side. Peyton will throw this side to Elliott, and it's over his head. And is going to roll out of bounds, incomplete. Elliott thought for a minute that it might have been a backwards pass, but incomplete, out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't know. That was close. That was close to a lateral. Because we're basically right on it here. I think it was really close. That would have been one of those plays that if had Lowered off and come up with a football, you would have thrown the challenge flag if they have it in high school football.
Dylan Weaver comes out wide near side, 2 to the far side. Peyton in the shotgun again on 2nd and 10 from midfield. Man in motion towards us, Serb. Give to Raleigh Serb, and he will get undercut, trying to jump across the 50. Maybe gets into, he does get into LD territory on a gain of 1, as we're under a minute now to go in the first quarter. But that will bring up 3rd down for this Rams offense. Peyton opting to wear a glove on his left hand. He is a right-handed quarterback. Malik Fry is going to come into the game offensively for the Rams as Dylan Weaver is going to come out. Peyton looked pretty sharp in warm-ups tonight, throwing the football, gripping it pretty well through a nice tight spiral for most of the warm-ups. But it is rather cold out there tonight. Wind has died down here a little bit in this first quarter to virtually nothing. It's about 5 to 10 miles an hour, blowing towards the middle school, which is off to our left. Fake to Serb. Peyton rolls out. Heavy pressure. He's going to have to unload it. Throws off his back foot out of bounds on the LD sideline, and that'll bring up 4th down with 10 seconds to go here in the opening quarter.
Yeah, good coverage that time by Zeiters and Domovich downfield. Peyton was running that way. Really had nobody over on that right side of the field open, and he did the wise thing. Just chuck it out, and he can safely punt the football away. And CD able to get a couple first downs there, so they get a clean punt away here. It'll be field position advantage to the Rams.
Dangerous Adam Zeiters back deep to receive the punt. Kirshner gets it clean this time. End over end that Zeiters will let hit. And it's going to take a slight favorable LD bounce. Malik Fry gets down to down it. Just outside of the 20-yard line. It's going to be down at the 18-yard line, but that's going to do it for one quarter of play. We are scoreless after one quarter. We'll swap ends and come back for the second quarter. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Houks Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Daily drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net. Their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet.
Here at the Speedway, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. Started the second quarter, lowered off, and we'll have it first and 10 from its own 18-yard line as we swap ends here in a stalemate. After 12 minutes of play, we are scoreless here in this District 3 Quad A quarterfinal.
Okay, a couple of the out-of-town scores. One of interest, certainly, of this game. Governor Mifflin up early against Cumberland Valley, 7-0 in the first quarter there. We have one other score on the board, and that is why I'm missing leading Bermudian Springs in double A, 6-0 in the first.
Single A underway tonight. As
yeah, they got the bye last week. Yep. There's only four teams making the playoffs.
There's another section of the state that does that. District 6, their championship tournament starts tonight. And those teams had a week off last week as well. I'm actually, you know, to me, I'm not a big fan of that. I think you give that's an advantage to, obviously, the team that doesn't have to play a game. Or is it because you don't have to play a game?
I don't know. I don't think it matters.
I'm not sure it does either, but a lot of times you see that District 6 champ get into that Western Final, and then in past years it's been a gap between the District 6 championship and the West Final. Now they've corrected that, so the teams will play straight through starting tonight. After that timeout, LD in the Wildcat formation with Hatowich. He'll take the direct snap, go right up the right hash, and he's going to be gang tackled there by the Rams defense after a short gain on first down and 10.
And again, not much trying to run up the middle for either side here. Hatowich so far, he has 7 carries for 10 yards. And that's less than 1.5 yards per carry. And yeah, you certainly want to get more than that out of your running game, but again, that's the kind of game that we expected coming into this one.
Swartz and Zeiters are far side. Domovich, near side. It's pistol for Clock. It's Alwich the back. Clock looks this side, now he looks other side. Throws, pass low and intended at time when the intended receiver was Domovich. Domovich, I beg your pardon, was lined up on the far side. That's going to bring up third down and 8 from the 20 with 11:14 to play till halftime.
And in a game like this, you know, the teams are pretty tight and conservative on their play calling because they know a mistake in this game could be critical. And I think you're going to see these teams kind of play close to the vest and just see who can score first.
Almost scary to think that both coaches like this type of game.
Yeah.
You rarely see both coaches liking this type of ball game. Third and 8 for the Falcons. Snap to Clock. Looks, throws, passes, intercepted by Adam Thornton on the far side, and Thornton will go unabated into the end zone for the touchdown. Adam Thornton with his third interception of the season. This one a pick 6 and with 11:04 to go in the first half on a 27-yard interception return for a touchdown. CD leads at 6-0.
Well, I brought up the mistakes, and there was one. It was a bad throw by Clock as he hit the man that was open, but that was Adam Thornton, and he was wearing green, and that is a pick 6 in a game. It's been a lot of defense so far, so now Lower Dauphin will have to play from behind.
Phil Petrina to hold and Kirshner kick. Extra point is up, and it is good. Our new score with 11:04 to go until halftime. The Rams crack the scoreboard first. It is 7-0 Central Dauphin. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on WMSS 91.1 FM.
The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding that might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
That touchdown brought to you by the Linglestown Fire Company. Tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m., stop by the Linglestown Fire Company at 5901 Linglestown Road for a PSP Strong event. Amy Lamb will be on hand with a group of volunteer Pennsylvania State Police wives to sell PSP Strong apparel. All proceeds will benefit the families of the late Corporal Brian Dixon and Trooper Alex Douglas, who were shot during the Blooming Grove ambush on September 12th. All sales are cash only, and the event will run until 1 p.m. or until the merchandise is sold out. That's the Linglestown Fire Company tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m. Short end-over-end kickoff is fielded at the 25 and getting across the 30 and up to the 31-yard line where LD will start. First and 10 is Clay Spencer. Now, you mentioned, Steve, Lower Dauphin now having to come from behind. This is an LD team that, for the better part of their wins, they have dictated the pace, the tempo, the style of the game. They do not like to get behind in situations where they really can't control it.
Yeah, no, they got behind against that against Cedar Cliff in that first game, and you saw the end result of that. That was a 27-7 loss. The only other game they got behind in really was the Bishop McDevitt game, and they lost that one 35-14.
And a motion away from us on first down. Clock hands off a towel, which he is hit and rocked as he gets across the line of scrimmage. And that outside linebacker spot, Mike Betts steps up to make the tackle. That'll bring up second down with 10:50 to go until halftime.
Going back to the interception, we said it was not a good throw by Clock, and I think he just either didn't get enough on it or maybe the ball slipped a little bit. He was definitely going for, I think it was Zeiters that was about 5 or 10 yards more downfield. He just happened to get a little bit taken off of it one way or another, whether he threw it that way or it slipped. And it was an easy defensive score for CD.
Wildcat again as Satowicz will carry this time off the left side. Gets across the 35 and tripped up as he falls across the 40 up to the 48, or rather the 43-yard line. Gary Gaston missed the tackle there but got enough to trip him up. That will be enough for the first down as the sticks move with 10-12 to play until halftime. LD attack in the end zone to our left.
And even though we were saying how defensive this is and now Lower Dauphin's playing from behind. No time to panic. I mean, we're early in the second quarter of this game. But if you get down by multiple scores, then you start to maybe panic a little.
Matalwich stays in the Wildcat. Receiver each way. Snap. Goes to the junior tailback. He gets across the line of scrimmage. Is hit off that right side this time. Up to the 45. It's going to be a gain of one, and that'll bring up second down for this LD offense. Attacking ends into our left. 9.5 to go until halftime. Central Dauphin leads it 7-0. Just moments ago, Adam Thornton, a 27-yard interception return for a touchdown. And that is the lone score we've had here through the first 15 minutes and change.
Patalovich so far, 10 carries, 23 yards.
It's pretty clear what LD's offense is going to be built around here tonight. No surprise. It is Morrill this time in at quarterback. He throws. Pass is incomplete on the far side. Matalwich, the intended receiver that time, and that's going to bring up third down.
Yeah, Morrill is a guy who will come in there and take a snap every now and then. That time does not work, and now third down and 9.
9:10 to go until halftime. As Steve mentioned, 3rd and 9. Clock will he'll stay in the Wildcat formation. Trips near side, and his clock lined up wide to the near side. Hatalowicz in that Wildcat runs off the right side this time. Hatalowicz slipped through an arm tackle and is going to get hit shy of midfield. He's going to be short of the first down by about 5 yards. That's going to bring up fourth down with 8:58 to go. And without hesitation, Rob Clark will send out the punting unit.
Well, that time what they were trying to do is they tried to drag the whole secondary over to that left side. And then Hitalovich runs it out of the Wildcat to the right. But CD's outside linebacker and the defensive front are there to meet the task.
Almost pressure that time by Eli Robinson. Malik Fry's going to take the punt. 25-30, sidesteps a man and is tripped up as he gets up to the 35-yard line. That's where CeeDee will start, first and 10 with 8:29 to play until halftime. Rams up 7-0. For the first time tonight, we will see sophomore A.J. Millar in at quarterback to guide the Rams offense. These two teams last met in 2009, a 31-14 win by Central Dauphin. Rams lead the series 7-1 all time. Glenn McAmey seeking his 15th playoff win here at Central Dauphin. That is the most all-time at 14 right now for McAmey. Shotgun for Millar. He's got two left, one right. Looks to his left, throws that way. Pass is high and intended for David Payton and incomplete. That'll bring up second and 10 with 8:25 to play until halftime.
Yeah, one other thing we need to kind of talk about here tonight is something that really they haven't dealt with much this year at all, and that's cold weather. I mean, tonight, last week it was windy, I believe, but it wasn't cold like it is here tonight. The wind chill, I'm sure, is down below freezing.
Temperature right now, 33 degrees. As Serb will get the carry on the sweep, trying to get to the outside, spins around and is taken down as he gets across the 35. Short gain. Really no gain on the play that time. That's going to bring up third and 10. You mentioned that weather, and right now the temperature is dropping into the low 30s here tonight. By the time we're all said and done, it's going to be right around freezing. Right now, the temperature, 33 degrees, feels like it's 28 outside. We got winds out of the west-northwest at about 7 miles an hour.
Hey, you want to win playoff football, you got to play in the cold. November, December comes around, it gets real cold real fast, and we're there now.
Snap to Millar, throw over the middle, and the pass is incomplete. And Mitch Nice had nothing but daylight in front of him, and he could not hang on to it.
Yeah, it was just a straight streak right off the line of scrimmage, straight down the middle, and, well, he would have been good for about 25 yards before he would have been tackled there had he been able to hang on to that ball.
Those are the situations that have plagued the CD passing game all season long. That was a great throw by Millar, and it was well-timed. And Nice, who has been pretty dependable this season, just could not hang on to it. Kirshner's punt, going to hang up end over end. It's going to be fair caught by Zeiters as he will do so at the 32-yard line. So the Falcons will have it with 7:31 to go in the half, trailing 7-0.
Now let's look at the scoreboard here in Quad A. Top-seeded Wilson, 14. Manheim Township, nothing. These are all in the second quarter. Mifflin leading Cumberland Valley 7-0. No score on the other game because it's tomorrow. we'll go over the rest of them here in a moment.
We'll talk about the Quad A tournament with Eric Epler at halftime, Penn Live beat writer, as clock throws near side, pass caught on the curl by Domovich. He gets across the 40 and up to the 42-yard line. And he will have enough for the first down after a 10-yard pickup with 7:22 to play in the first half.
Some of the other scores in AAA. Redland and Conrad Weiser tied at 7 in the second quarter. First quarter, Cucalico leads West York 7-0. Second quarter is Daniel Boone 14, Milton Hershey 7. AA, no score between Newport and Berks Catholic in the second quarter. Also in the second, Wyomissing 6, Meridian Springs nothing. And we'll go to the single A after the split.
Pistol for clock, handoff. Hitalovich and Micah Parsons is there right away to swarm and wrap him up and drop him for a loss back across the 40 to the 39. It's a loss of 3, and that'll bring up second down and 13 with 6:50 to play until halftime.
Sidetracking from the scoreboard, Camp Hill leading the Lone Catholic 7-0 in the first, and York Catholic leading Steel High on a safety 2-0 in the second quarter. That's one of the guys that I was really looking forward to seeing here. Is Michael Parsons, the talented freshman player for the CD team, and there he is making a big tackle for loss for the Rams.
24th tackle for loss this season, among the leaders in the state. Clock rolls out to the far side. Pass is thrown high, but Morrow makes a great catch on a high throw. Gets up to the 45-yard line, picks up five. And that's going to bring up 3rd and 7 with 6:13 to play. Parsons is second team, was named second team all Mid-Penn Commonwealth defense. And I'm not so sure exactly who picks those teams. I believe it is the coaches, but 15 and a half sacks and now 24 tackles for loss, and you're on the second team. You better have some all pros on that first team if that's your second team defensive
yeah.
end. Clock, empty backfield. Two near side, two far side. Low snap, clock throws far side. Pass caught, nice comeback route by Domovich. He will have the first down into CD territory, and he gets down to the 44-yard line.
Domovich making his third catch of this ball game, and he's really the safety blanket for Clock. Looking at the yearly receiving stats, I'm assuming, not knowing ahead of time, but I'm assuming Domovich is among the leaders, probably is the leader. 15 catches, 222 yards coming into this game. Zeiders is actually the reception leader with 25.
Pistol again for Clock. Handoff to Hatalich. Nice sidestep to get around the pressure, and he gets down across the 40 and stopped at the 39 on a gain of 5. And that will bring up, second down as Clock will continue to run as we're now under 5 minutes to go until halftime.
And one of the more successful runs up the middle here for Hatalich in this first half. He now is at 27 yards on 13 carries.
And he is the deep back again as Clock will be in the pistol. He's got two to his left, double tight right on 2nd and 6. Low snap again to Clock, fakes the delay, throws back near side. Domovich has it go in and out of his hands. He made a nice move to get free, and had he caught that, again, like Nice on the previous series for CD, had daylight in front of him. That's third down now, upcoming for the Falcons offense.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those passes like that. Those flanker screens be either a little off the mark or just dropped. And we have a bedlam here, as nobody knows what's going on out in the field. The CD coaching staff is...
Well, the issue is Reed Albright is going to have to switch helmets here. He got something loose, shaking loose on his helmet. CD coaches wanted to call a timeout so they can get Albright in the game. He's going to have to come out of the game for the equipment issue and then go back in there on the next down. LD's going to have two receivers near side, and they are going to now finally get the timeout called by the CD defense with 4:36 to go in the first half. And we will step aside for a timeout. 7-0 CD leads it. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM.
The Borough Bar and Grill in Hummelstown has casual dining with a family atmosphere. Borough Bar and Grill has burgers, steaks, seafood, pasta, and of course, their wings, champions of the Central Pennsylvania Wing Quest 2012. The Borough Bar and Grill also has the NFL and college football packages on their flat-screen TVs. The Borough Bar and Grill kitchen is open from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. daily. They're located on East Main Street in Hummelstown at the fork in the road. The Borough Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Lower Dauphin and Bishop McDevitt Athletics.
Back here at the Speedway, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. 4:36 to go until halftime, as Central Dauphin has a 7-0 lead. Coming up at halftime, we mentioned we'll talk to Eric Epler of PennLive.com. We'll run down the out-of-town scoreboard, get you updated on all the District 3 action. We'll have the stats run down and a review of the first half. That comes your way in about 4.5 minutes. Clock has it in the pistol now on 3rd and 6. Snap. Clock looks to his right. Fires. Donovich makes the catch. He's off and running to the races. Touchdown, Lower Dauphin. No flags, 40-yard touchdown pass from Tommy Clock, his 13th of the season, to Adam Domovich, and with 4:29 to go in the half, LD's a point after away from tying this one at 7.
And Gary Gaston slipped as Domovich made his cut on the quick slant. Gaston just went to the ground, and as soon as that happened and Domovich made the catch, there was nothing in front of him, and LD gets what they needed. They needed to respond and level this game out, and they, well, have almost done so. Extra point pending.
And Peredia will attempt the point after on the season, 43 of 44. And he will kick to the uprights to our left. End over end is up, and we are tied. 4:29 to go until halftime. New score. Lowered Offen has tied this one up at 7. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on WMSS-FM and WMSSFM.com.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dolphin Football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Back here at Speed Ebersol Stadium, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. 4:29 to go until halftime. We are tied at 7 after Tommy Clock's 40-yard touchdown pass to Adam Domovich for Domovich. That's actually his first receiving touchdown of the 2014 season.
Yeah, that's actually shocking to me. It seems like Domovich is their bigger play receiver, at least in the games that I've seen. Not that Lowered Offen has had to throw much in the games that I've seen this year, but he makes the big catch there and gets Lowered Offen level.
Contrell Armour on the return, spun around as he gets across the 30-yard line, stops shy of the 35, so the Rams will have it. First and 10 at its own 34-yard line, at their own 34-yard line. Two timeouts remaining for each side as we are tied here at 7 apiece. Winner of this game will get the winner of the Cumberland Valley Governor Mifflin game. If CD wins it, they will be here. Or rather, if they win, they could be on the road. If Governor Mifflin wins, the game will be at Governor Mifflin. And if CD wins, the game would be up here if Cumberland Valley wins the other game. A.J. Millar in at quarterback, Serb in motion away from us. Handoff Serb on first down. He is hit right away. Good job by that interior defense again for the Lower Dolphin Falcons as C.J. Ramajan there on the stop. He got the initial contact.
And again, both of these running backs, Serb for C.D., Hitalovich for Lower Dolphin. Yeah, they're just having a tough night. And Serb so far, 8 carries, 16 yards. So that's right around 2 yards a carry. That's not numbers you want to hear if you're a running back.
Nope, certainly not. Two receivers far side. Now man of motion out of the slot is Serb. Fake to Serb. Millar looks to pass. Heavy pressure. Has to unload it and throws incomplete. And that'll bring up 3rd and 5. A.J. that time taking a lot of time to uncork that one. Justin Salek was the intended receiver.
Chad Ray was coming in defensively for Lowered Offen, and Millar just had to, he just had to get rid of it. Avoid taking the sack.
Dylan Weaver will check in for CD's offense here with 3:39 to play. Glenn McNamee did tell us before kickoff he wants to throw the football tonight. Could not last week a lot because of the wind conditions, but wanted to here tonight. And Millar is going to have trips near side. Going to roll out, shovel pass to McNeil. Flag comes in. This is going to get called back as McNeil is going to carry it all the way up across the 45 to the 46. On an 11-yard pickup, it will not stand as it looked like somebody left early for the Rams offense, and that'll back them up 5 with 3:31 to play in the first half.
And is that the first penalty we've seen? I think it is. I don't remember any other ones.
That's also a problem that has plagued CD's offense this season. The 5-yard penalty, and this one's going to push him back and bring up 3rd down and 15. Illegal procedure is the call on the Rams.
And that not only is it a 5-yard penalty, but it negates a good play, as they would have had enough for the first down, and now they're looking at a 3rd down and 15. So Coach McNamee wanted to throw the ball. Here's an opportunity, but I wouldn't be so sure that they will throw the ball here. Maybe trying to play conservatively with only 3 minutes to go in the half.
Weaver and Peyton are near side. It's Peyton wide. Millar's going to roll out. They go on the delay to Serb. Serb across the 35. Cuts back. 40, and he's going to get across the 45 to the 46 for the first down.
They're going to mark him short.
And there is a late flag. There's a late flag that came in from the back. And this might be after the whistle. And they are going to mark Serb short of the first down by about half of a yard, but we wait and check the penalty.
That's a big spot, because if it's a personal foul on CD, it won't be a first down, but it is against the Falcons. So a huge play there. And I kind of expected CD to run the ball there, because you don't want to take a chance with 3 minutes to go in the half in a 7-7 very defensive game. So you run the counter to your speedy running back, see what he can do. He almost got the first down, but certainly got it with the extra 15 added on the end.
3:07 to go, so that dead ball personal foul carries it down, or takes the ball down to the 40 of Lower Dauphin. Millar on the quick hitter to McNeil, and he's going to be stood up at the line of scrimmage. He may have lost about a half a yard, so we'll call it no gain officially with 2:50 to go. Jake Kirshner has distance from 37 yards this season, and the wind, as we see it, still blowing across the field, across your radio dial, it's blowing from right to left out towards the middle school. So it's going, Kirshner would be kicking it into the uprights that the Rams offense is attacking here.
And looking at both goalposts, I can't tell which way the wind's really blowing. Oh, we got and movement up front.
Yep. Moving by that LD line. Looks like J.R. Borelli that time at left defensive end is going to give the Rams 5 yards. He flinched, and that will bring up second and five and take the ball down to the 35 with 2:24 to play in the half.
Well, when it rains, it pours as far as the flags are concerned, because we went almost 20 minutes in game time without any penalties, and now we've had three in the past three or four plays.
Second and five from the LD 35. Ryan Elliott's wide near side, Serb far side. Now he comes in motion towards us. Snap to Millar, handoff Serb. Serb is hit right away by Brinzer, but he's going to fight his way for a pickup of one as he gets down the 35 to the 34. Jake Brinzer, that middle linebacker, 5'10 senior with a hard hit, got in there right away, good pressure applied.
Yeah, it was a big-time collision there between Serb and Brinzer.
Glenn McNamee and the CD offense call timeout with the 153. We'll keep it here during the timeout. As you kind of get the sense, you know, you don't want to say, obviously, too early that another score here for CD is detrimental to LD, but the way this game is going, even after the big play with Domovich, I mean, it kind of teeters on that balance that, you know, another touchdown, you know, could kind of change the whole complexion of this game.
Yeah, I think looking at this game so far, I think LD has maybe had a little bit better of the play. They've been able to establish the passing game a little more than CD has at this point. But, you know, one score either way I don't think is going to change it. You get somebody up by two scores in this game, though, and things really change. But as of right now, I mean, it's anybody's game. And CD, you know, they certainly want to try to move this down and get some points on the board here before halftime.
May have heard one of the coaches from CD. They're in the booth right next to us as there is a clock issue right now. They have 150. They had 153 on the clock. Now they have switched it to 158, which is the correct time. So 5 extra seconds added to the clock. On 3rd and 4, the Rams have it. They have trips near side. Millar in the shotgun. It's McNeil in the backfield. Serving motion away from us. Millar is going to roll out near side. Looks. Fires. Pass caught, or rather incomplete. Malik Frye looked like he had it and could not hang on to it on the near sideline, and that's going to bring up 4th down with 1:50 to play in the half.
Good coverage by Lower Dauphin again as Millar just rolling to the right side, and everybody covered, tried to thread one in to Frye, who was right along the sideline, just couldn't stay in bounds and come up with football. So now 4th down and 4, and obviously the Rams will go for it here at the LD 34.
Yep, too far out of range for Kirshner. And then he's trying to draw LD offsides here with the cadence. Millar in a quarterback in the shotgun. He's got trips again near side. It's Peyton wide near side. Snap, they go quick snap. Millar thought about it, does take off and run. He stretches, but he is going to be shy of the first down. Had to get down to the 30, and he's going to be marked down at the 31 on a yard short. So that's going to turn it over on downs to LD with 1:44 to play in a tie ball game here at 7 apiece. And the Falcons offense now with 2 timeouts, and they had some success throwing the football on that last drive as clock will trot back out there after a 40-yard touchdown pass his last series.
I don't think Coach Clock takes many chances here. I look for safe plays.
See how they draw it up, 2 far side, 1 near side. Clock's going to roll to the far side. Heavy pressure from Gabriel, throws off his back foot. Downfield pass is tipped and almost caught. almost caught as Jordan Hatcher stepped up to make the defensive play to try to tip it away and almost in turn tipped it to the intended or the receiver deep down the field, who was Evan Morrill.
Evan Morrill almost had the biggest gift wrap touchdown ever. I mean, that ball was tipped twice, and if Morrill had been coming more towards the center of the field rather than, you know, taking a step towards the sideline, that would have dropped basically right in his stride, and he was off to the races. Boy, that was a big misplay for both teams, because I thought CD had a chance to pick it as well.
Two near side, one far side. Pistol for clock, low snap. They go delay again to Hatalovich. Hatalovich with room. It's across the 35 up to the 36 on a gain of 5. And that's going to bring up third down and 5 as the clock will wind under 1:25 to go here until halftime.
Yeah, and that's what I expected Coach Clock to do on first down, is just to hand the ball off. It's a 7-7 game. You know, you're back on your own side of the 50-yard line, and they're going to try to burn all the time off the clock as they can here, as they're not even huddling up. They're just going to call a timeout, likely, when the play clock gets down.
CD will receive the second-half kickoff. Rams kicked off tonight to start this one, so they will get the second-half kick. As LB will do that, they will let the clock wind down. It'll stop at 51 seconds, and a timeout called by Rob Clock. And while we have a moment here, Steve's got the out-of-town scoreboard for us.
Yeah, and if you want to stay close to home next Friday night, if you're one of these two teams, not looking so good. Governor Mifflin, 20-0 now over Cumberland Valley. So if they hold on to win, that means the winner of this game is going over to Shillington to play Governor Mifflin. Second quarter, Wilson leads Manheim Township 14-7. Triple-A games. Redland 21, Conrad Weiser 14. Also in the second quarter, Cocalico 7, West York 6. Daniel Boone is leading Milton Hershey 21-10. Class AA. Halftime, Wyomissing leads Bermudian Springs 12-0. That Bermudian Springs team is unbeaten on the year. Also unbeaten, Berks Catholic, but they're having no trouble with Newport, 21-0 there. In single A, two second quarter scores, Camp Hill 10, DeLone Catholic nothing, York Catholic 9, Steel High nothing.
Out of the timeout, Wildcat formation for Lower Dauphin. It's Hatalovich will take the direct snap, go right up the middle. He is going to have the first down. Ball appeared to jar loose, but it looks like Hatalovich was able to maintain it. It was actually Zeiters that came up with a recovery, but a big first down pick up that time for the Falcons, with 42 seconds to play in the half.
Yep, and that will effectively get them to halftime safely. Although they are hustling up to the line here, so maybe they are going to try something.
About a 17-second difference between game and play clock, as Clock will be in the shotgun. Low snap, looks, throws, deep down the far side, passes, intercepted on the far side by Jordan, rather... David Payton. David Payton coming up with the interception, his first of the season. And with 20 seconds to go, the CD defense steps up again and stops the LD momentum.
And while it was a deep throw and it was intercepted, it's a safe play because it's a deep ball.
It's effectively a punt.
Yeah, the last thing you want to try to do is run some pass out in the flat right before halftime. That's because that's an easy pick six the other way if it's picked off. But that's a deep throw, and CD's just going to sit on this. They realize that the best thing to do here is just to get it to halftime, and the Rams will get the ball to start the second half, and we'll pick up where we started, tied just at 7-7 rather than nothing-nothing.
If it is 7-7 as the final 6 seconds will tick off the clock, Rams will get the second half kickoff. And they will do so tied with Lower Dauphin at 7 apiece. That'll send us to the halftime show. Coming up at halftime, we will talk to Eric Epler from PennLive.com. Steve will have the stats, the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll recap the first half scoring for you. It all comes your way next on the halftime show. CD and Lower Dauphin tied at 7 apiece. This is the District 3 Quad A quarterfinals on WMSS, FM.com, and 91.1 FM.
Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill. Two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club, the CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team.
Herman Eye Associates has been serving Hummelstown in the central Pennsylvania area since 1958. Herman Eye provides general and specialized vision examinations to their patients. They also have eyeglasses, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Herman Eye has solutions for all of your eye care needs. Herman Eye is accepting new patients, and the Herman family are proud LD alumni. That's Herman Eye, 29 West Main Street in Hummelstown. Their number is 566-3216.
Time here at the Speedway. Eric Thomas, Steve leading with you. 7-7 Lower Dauphin and Central Dauphin tied here in the District 3 Quad A quarterfinals. Winner of this game will get the winner of the Governor Mifflin-Cumberland Valley game. We'll check the scoreboard for you here momentarily. We're pleased to be joined, as we have a couple times this season, by Eric Epler at PennLive.com. And Ep, your thoughts on that slugfest there in the first half?
Yeah, well, we thought it was going to be a rush-heavy football game. It wasn't exactly that way, but two teams that like to run the ball, obviously. When you got a guy like Raleigh Serb and you got a bruiser like George Talowicz, you're going to run those guys quite often. But LD, I think, has done a nice job trying to soften up that middle a little bit and taking maybe, you know, the big guns on the outside, the rush edge guys like Parson out of the equation a little bit by running some short screens and trying to get the ball out of Tommy Fox's hands pretty quickly. They were really successful there early. Had a nice drive, I think an 11 or 12 play drive. Kind of come to a halt. Heredia couldn't get the field goal up. Parsons blocked it, but the handling of it looked a little sluggish to me. You know what I mean? It just didn't look on time. So, you know, but 7-7. I mean, we kind of knew this game was going to be close, and it may come down on last possession. And it looks right now, it looks like right where it should be.
At least in the first half, the better offense has been lowered off, and the fact that they were able to respond to that pick six by Thornton was a big shift in the momentum right there. Because at that point, If it's 10-0 or 14-0 in this spot instead of 7-7, we got a different ballgame the way the CD defense has played this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could see right after that. I mean, I give LD a lot of credit here because right after that pick, it looked like the amped up CD defense that we've come to expect. I mean, they were kind of growling and coming after you a little bit, playing maybe, you know, we don't have to be as perfect now. We got a little lead, but LD came right back. You know, started rolling clock out a little bit, giving them more chances. I mean, I don't think anybody expected 16 pass attempts from Tommy Clock, you know, through one half of football.
That's double than what he had in the whole game last week.
It may take lowered off, you know, 3-4 weeks to get that, to get that many pass, you know, attempts. So, but they've done a real nice job here, and so does CD. I mean, CD is a little bit limited, too. Millar came in there the last couple of series for them. David Payton, I thought, had some nice runs, too. But you're right. I mean, you look at the pure stats, it's 8 first downs to 3. And you wouldn't really expect it to be in LD's favor, but it is right now.
What do you think about the way that the LD defense has played here in this first half. We know, I mean, you mentioned CD's been a little limited, obviously, with their passing attack. It's not been where they want it to be, obviously, and it's still a focal point to try to throw the football. And they've had a couple of opportunities. Mitch Nice dropped the one. Malik
yeah.
Fry dropped the conversion there. So those things still continue to haunt. But the way the LD defense has played in this game, too, seems like they're covering pretty well in the secondary. They're not allowing Millar quick throws or Peyton quick throws. And the CD offense, which, you know, I mean, let's be honest about it. At times this season has been one-dimensional.
It is. I think not that he's scaled back the offense, but, I mean, you know, Glenn McNamee's the kind of coach that, you know, until it's broke, he's not going to fix it. I mean, that's their bread and butter. They're really not sure how the passing game is going to go if they decided to air it out. You don't have a lot of choices on the outside. You know, a couple nice players, but it's not like you can't, you know, it's not like you can't go five wide with this offense. So, but Lower Dolphins' defense is a lot like last year's. Not as talented as last year's, of course, but they play their position. You know, I mean, there's a negative tone when you talk about role players in any sport. You know, it's kind of like diminishing, well, he's not a standout player, but they're filled with role players. And to a certain extent, Central Dolphins very similar. You know, you've got a guy like Micah Parsons who just stands out. I mean, he's a beast coming off the edge. You got McNeil who's everywhere. But CD did a nice job, too, basically running four linebackers. And all four of those guys are players. I mean, you talk Albright, Thornton made the huge play. Betts has had a great game so far. And, of course, you know, McNeil, who's got, I don't know, like 700 tackles this year. So, you know, he's always in the mix. So, two defenses very similar in my book. Catala, which has been very good defensively, he's probably forced to run that, you know, forced to be the feature back from what the talent they have. So, but I really like him at linebacker. And you got guys like Ben Ross, too, that are doing tremendous jobs, too. So, a lot of role players on this field tonight.
Anything through the first week of the playoffs or tonight surprise you, at least as far as a quad A bracket goes?
I thought, well, right now I believe Governor Mifflin is taking it to Sycamore Valley pretty good. I think it was 20-0 the last time I checked.
Yeah, that's a little, the last score we got.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to me. I thought Cumberland Valley would be, they run that midline, you know, and they run it really, really well, the Mustangs do. But I thought Cumberland Valley would sort of stay really tight with them throughout. I think you had to make Mifflin the favorites just because you're going down there, and it was a tough game last week. But, you know, other than that, Quad A is a crapshoot. We've been saying that all year. You've seen it. I mean, you've seen teams come in here, and it's just sort of, okay, who's going to be hot this week? And that's really Quad A. I mean, Wilson, to me, from the very beginning, is just the most sound Quad A football team that we have in District 3. That doesn't mean they're unbeatable. But, you know, when you don't shoot yourself in the foot, the weather gets a little colder. You got some wind now. You know, that's the type of team that can really sort of weather those elements and weather those variables. So I still think they're the team to beat.
And this is a long way away, but does any team in District 3 have a shot at winning in Week 15?
Well, I'll be honest with you. If I had to give you a yes or no answer, I'd say no. I just think the teams out west have the ability a little bit more this year than last year to sort of adapt and take control of the line of scrimmage. And I haven't seen too many teams in District 3 that could maybe get to that point in the next 2-3 weeks. We have some good teams, but only one time in all the years that I've been doing this have I seen a team go out there and beat the Whitfield team at their own game, excuse me, and that was Central Dolphin, yeah. You know, a couple years ago, when they basically punched North Allegheny in the face, dared them to beat them on the ground, and North Allegheny couldn't do it. So I don't see a CD team of 2011 this year.
Even with a stout defense last year that Lower Dolphin had. I mean, they were limited offensively, but
right.
Even with that defense, which is the kind of defense you have to go up there and try to win a game with.
Absolutely.
They got run off the field last year.
It was 45-0 to Pittsburgh Central Catholic, and, you know, even talking to Rob Clark after the game, the first thing he said was, wow. You know, when he looks at you and says, wow, okay, shake their hands. You know, these guys are way better than we are. And they've got some teams that are in that sort of mold this year out west. So I really don't see anybody coming out of District 3, Quad A, getting to Hershey a week later.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Manheim Central and Bishop McDevitt, this is a rivalry that Manheim Central has been itching to have.
Yes.
And, you know, let's be honest about this. Is Manheim Central as good this year as they were a season ago when they could throw their best at McDevitt? No. And we're possibly looking at the final game for Mike Williams tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I think we are looking at the final games for Mike Williams. You know, I don't know. Unless there's 20-25 hour wins, that would maybe affect Nick Marsilio from start to finish. I don't think Man Up Central has enough to deter that offense. There's just so many options there. And A-Rob is really, I mean...
He's okay.
As good as he's been over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, he's probably not even hit a stride yet, you know, missing that 5-week stretch early in the season. So I just don't think, you know, over 48 minutes of football, I just don't think they have enough.
I'm going to ask you about that because where the normal guy, and yeah, okay, they're high school kids and they don't have the wear and tear, the tread, you know, wearing off like an NFL running back does.
Right.
The fact that the best running back in this area was able to take a 5-week sabbatical from football, you know, I know that they're not, you know, the knockout team that maybe we've seen, at least defensively. But, my goodness, he gets a 5-week break and he's healthy.
Yeah.
I would not want to play a guy that has not played all, you know, 15 or 14 games if you get to that point if you're the Western team.
No, I mean, he was hungry before. Now he's really, really hungry. And, you know, it was interesting because that session, that 5 weeks when he was off, was really a chance for the offensive line to kind of gel. They really, I don't think they have yet, to be honest with you. I mean, this is not as sharp a Bishop McDevitt football team as it was at this point last year. I mean, I think that's a fact. But, you know, that being said, is there enough on the Barons' defensive side to sort of account for every intangible that they bring to the table? And I don't see it. I like having Justin Moreno back. I mean, an all-state linebacker. He's a tremendous player. But up front, McDevitt should really take this game, you know, fairly easy in my book. I think it's, you know, it would surprise me if midway through the third quarter, Man Up Central's got a chance still.
We're talking to Eric Epler from PennLive.com.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Bishop McDevitt is, you know, running away the odds-on favorite to win District 3.
Yes.
But then comes the team that they've faced a few times now.
The Ramblers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cathedral Prep and them have had some big showdowns in the past couple years. What do you see in that rematch?
Well,
should it happen?
Yeah, it should happen. Yeah, I think they're probably better equipped, honestly, to probably compete with Cathedral Prep than they are with the West Allegheny, or they are with the guys who come out of the Whippeal. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, to me, is a team that, you know, they play West Allegheny tonight, so we'll see how that goes. But to me, they're sort of the X factor. I mean, I see that team, you know, if they could somehow get through and win the Whippeals, I think they're probably the most dangerous team that McDevitt could face, you know, going out west. But again, anyone who comes out of the Whippeal is going to be tough, and it's going to be, I don't know, there was snowing out there out west, you know, yesterday, so who knows what kind of weather you get when you go out to Dubois or Altoona, you know, in a couple weeks time. So
here's my question: where do you go when you're in Dubois? I mean, I know you go to the field obviously for the game, but what do you do after? A,
yeah.
Where do you file from? And B, where is post-filing taking place
at? It was interesting because we were out there a couple of years ago. We actually, there's a very nice, clean, beautiful Hampton Inn right by the stadium.
That's perfect.
And we walked in there before the game, a couple hours before the game, and asked the clerk. And he said, sure, come on back. He goes, I'll still be here. So I guess he probably just wanted the company. You know what I mean? So we went there. It was glorious. We actually filed from there and then took off for Altoona, you know, to stay over for the next day. We had to come on the valley the following day. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot like driving 22, the Colonial Park area, driving in from the highway. And then it's, you know, dark and gray and stormy and snowy.
Everything
and
out nothing. Of an M.I. Channel. Yeah. Movie, yeah.
There's some charm there. I didn't see much of it, but there's some charm there.
There's some charm there. We're talking to Eric Epler at PennLive.com here at halftime. It's 7-7 between Central Dauphin and Lower Dauphin here in the District 3 quarterfinals.
I think we all agree that Bishop McDevitt has certainly a legitimate shot at winning a state title or making the state championship game. The other classes, Double A and Single A. Double A, obviously, your favorite there is Berks Catholic.
Right.
And in Single A, I like watching the Camp Hill team. I don't know if they're going to have enough if they, you know, get out of the district. I mean, Steele High's still in there, who they've already lost to, but Steele High's losing tonight to York Catholic. But I really like what they have at Camp Hill. Maybe not this year, but who knows with the offense that they have?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this year is probably the year if they're gonna maybe even make the semifinals. I mean, you know, you're talking about maybe meeting an old Forge or somebody like that. Those grizzled, you know. South, you know, upper Pocono region teams that are,
Steel High lost to last
year. Team to Steel High lost to. And, you know, there's a couple of those running around that have really good feature backs, really good kind of stout guys up front, and then not much else. You know what I mean? They kind of live and die with their featured guy. So, you know, I think Camp Hill is the type of team that could maybe make a semifinal run. Make it back to Hershey, probably not. That's probably too much of a stretch, but they are fun to watch. You're right about that. I mean, when you got Williams, I don't know, next year you're missing a guy like Hope. That guy, to me, is their best overall player, hands down. 17 touchdown passes, receptions on the year. He plays great defense in the secondary. He's kind of the quarterback back there. And Schuster's been phenomenal, but, you know, a lot of Schuster's yards, too. I mean, as good as he's been, it's always nice to dump off the number five and watch that guy scoot through defense.
Williams, so, yeah.
Single A, I mean, you cover a team like Southern Columbia a couple of years ago where they're loaded across the board, and you know that nobody can touch them at the single A level. It's the level of football where if you have one guy like that or a combination like that, it doesn't matter who you play. If they are the best players on the field, you're probably winning the game.
You do a lot of damage, and that was one of the keys with Dominic Bragalone and South Williamsport. It was the same thing. Now, they had played North Penn tonight out of Blossburg. So, and North Penn's been sort of a surprise in District 4, but you're right. I mean, when you have a featured guy that just can pound out, I mean, this guy goes for 300 yards a week.
And still, I was loaded, but still, Jeremiah Young.
Right.
You know, that guy changes the whole game.
Yep. You're right. Same exact thing. So, you know, Steel High really doesn't have that guy. Camp Hill has maybe a couple guys that would kind of fit in that category, but you still have to sort of, I think the competition sort of catches up with you a little bit, too. There were some weeks off for Camp Hill and some games that maybe were a little tougher on Camp Hill than most expected. So I think the Lions are very, very talented, but to make a full run, I don't know. We'll have to see.
All right. It's Eric Epler from PennLive.com. You can read his recap from tonight's game at PennLive.com, probably about an hour or so after this one is over. We appreciate you stopping up here, sir.
No problem, guys.
Hopefully
thanks so much.
See you down the road there. Eric Epler from PennLive.com here as we are at halftime. 7-7 Lower Dauphin and Central Dauphin are tied up here. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will run down the out-of-town scoreboard, the first half stats, and we'll kick off the second half. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on WMSS 91.1 FM.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Houks Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Deli drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net, their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet.
We're still fresh after 30 years in the making. This is WMSS Middletown.
Back here at the Speedway, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. 7-7 as the two teams are back out on the field for the start of the second half. Let's take a look now at the first half statistics and also the out-of-town scoreboard here as we get set for the second half here of play tonight.
All right, let's first look at Central Dauphin rushing the football. Yeah, Riley Serb with 10 carries, 32 yards in the first half. David Payton, 1 for 17. A.J. Millar, 1 for 3. Stephen McNeil, 1 for 0 yards. Receiving, I'll listen to the crickets. A.J. Millar, 0 for 4. David Payton, 0 for 2 in the first half. Team totals for CD on the ground, 13 carries, 52 yards. No yards passing, 52 yards offense for the Rams in the first half play. For Lower Dauphin, leading rusher, George Talowich, 15 carries, 45 yards. Tommy Clock had one keeper for 2 yards. Receiving, Adam Domovich had 4 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown. Ben Ross, 1 for 14. Evan Morrill, 1 for 5. Colt Swartz, 1 for 9. Adam Siders, 1 for 6. Tommy Clock, 8 for 15, 105 yards, a touchdown, and an interception that was returned for a touchdown. Evan Morrill threw one pass that was incomplete. Team totals for the Falcons in the first half, 16 carries, 47 yards, 105 through the air, 152 yards of total offense for Lower Dauphin in the first half. Scoring recap, CD on the board first. It was a 27-yard interception return for touchdown for Adam Thornton. Kirchner's extra point made it 7-0 CD early in the second. Then midway through the second, Adam Domovich, 40-yard touchdown pass from Clock. Ready his extra point. Ties us up at 7 here at halftime.
What decides the second half here? What decides the final 24 minutes of this game tonight?
Well, I think for CD to win this game, they're going to have to find some way to throw the football. They haven't been able to, and here's a short squib kick. It's loose.
It is loose. It was touched by one of the CD up men and recovered by Lower Dauphin. So the Falcons, on the short kickoff, will get the recovery, and they will start first and 10 just 4 seconds into the second half in what was poised to be a CD offensive series to open up the third quarter. Is now a Lower Dauphin offensive series to open up the third quarter, and Tommy Clock will come out for the first offensive snap of the quarter.
Wow, that's a shocker to see that happen that way, and I'm not sure if it was intended to be that way. It didn't look like a direct onside kick, just a light kick.
Rams have taken Gary Gaston out and replaced him defensively at corner with David Payton. And on the quick curl, it is Domovich who makes the catch and Payton the tackle, but not before an 8-yard pickup on first down. And that's the type of play, Steve, that has had the propensity to deflate the CD team for chunks of games this season. That is something that they did not expect. Great call by Rob Clock and the coaching staff of LD to open up this third quarter. They'll go Wildcat here on second and one. Hatalowicz to take the direct snap. He has Brinzer to his left. He will carry Micah Parsons, and Mike Betts will get there for the tackle. But Hatalowicz will get back to the line of scrimmage. We have another late flag that comes in after the play is over. And if this is a personal foul on CD, it's going to be 15 and an automatic first.
Yeah, Hatalowicz ran right into Parsons, who was able to throw him back. But let's see if it's maybe a face mask.
Referees will confer here. And it is a dead ball, personal foul against the Rams. A 15-yard personal foul penalty on CD will take this ball all the way down to the Rams' 15-yard line, and an automatic first down for Lower Dauphin. Attacking the end zone to our left, and they are going in here with 11:09 to go in the quarter.
Right, this has just been disaster for Central Dauphin to start the second half. Lower Dauphin had the onside kick work, and now a big penalty.
Double tight near side, Hatalowicz in the Wildcat. Morrell's the wide receiver to the far side on first and 10. It's officially marked at the 16-yard line. Direct snap coming to Hatalowicz. The junior takes it, runs to his left. Gets tackled immediately as good pressure that time along that right side of the CD defense. David Payton was in on the stop along with Mike Betts and Micah Parsons. Second and 10 upcoming for the Lower Dauphin offense with 10.5 to go in the third quarter.
One thing is certainly apparent. Lower Dauphin has no interest in even faking the idea that Hatalowicz is going to throw the ball ever.
So that means it's coming probably.
I mean, he's... You can see the cornerback start to cheat over on the left side. That is Fry.
Second and 9, so it was officially a 1-yard pickup. Hatalowicz in the Wildcat again. Double tight left side, receiver far side. Hatalowicz will run left side again. Gets a good block, cuts inside, and is going to be taken down as he gets across the 15 and down to the 13-yard line on a 2-yard pickup. And that'll bring up third down and 7 as we wind under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, tied at 7 apiece.
So that makes me wonder, have they tried Hatalowicz throwing the ball at all this year? We have the stats for the season here. So let me look quickly. No, Hatalowicz has not thrown a pass. And honestly, if he would take the snap, run a couple steps to the left, and throw it back to Morrill on the sideline on the right side, if he had the touch to do that, it would be wide open.
Clock is back in at quarterback now. Hatalowicz, the deep back, receiver far side, low snap. Clock throws near side, pass is almost intercepted by David Payton, as it was the pass by Klotz thrown to the outside, and his intended receiver at times, Swartz, not looking for it.
Yeah, Swartz was headed back towards the middle of the field rather than heading towards the outside, which is where Klotz threw the ball. So now Heredia is going to come in to try to kick what will be a 30-yard field goal.
30-yard is season-long, is 26. So this is, honestly, we don't know the distance he can kick because he's only attempted now 5 in the season. Missed one earlier, was blocked. Second one is blocked as well, and it's Micah Parsons again. For the second time tonight, the freshman defensive end gets in there and sticks his hand up and thwarts a lower Dauphin field goal.
Well, I don't care if Joe Julius is there. He's not making that field goal either because there are so many green shirts. Great job by the front guys on the field goal block team for CD. There were a few guys that were in there, and that field goal had no chance of going anywhere. Big play.
Rams will start their first offensive series of the second half with David Payton at quarterback. Serve in motion away from us. Fake to serve. Payton makes a cut, gets tripped up as he gets across the 30. And he will get to the 32 on a gain of 3, and that'll bring up 2nd and 7 as we're under 9 minutes to play now in the third quarter.
Important for the Central Dauphin offense to try to get something working here. As you know, as we mentioned at halftime, no passing yards in the first half of this game. That's pretty much got to change if they want to win this game.
Line gets set. Payton sends Serb in motion away from us. Snap, give to Serb. Serb trying to run off that left side, cut it back towards the middle of the field. He's going to pick up 2 up to the 34, and that'll bring up 3rd down and 5. Now, we have an interesting situation here defensively for CD2 because Arshon Downing, who normally plays corner, was absent at the start of tonight's game and is down on the sideline now and is trying to warm himself up. Both teams have sideline heaters here tonight, trying to stay warm and get the joints loosened up there. He's going to see some action here in the third quarter. That's why David Payton was in there at corner. That's a position that Downing would have normally gone in at there when they moved Gaston out. Payton in the shotgun on 3rd and 5. 2 receivers near side. Junior's going to roll out to the near side. Bobbled it. Now he's got to keep. Cuts it back. We'll get up to the 39, and he is going to be right at the marker. And a late flag comes in again, and this one is going to be a dead ball on Lower Dauphin.
Both of these teams now need to, I think both of these coaches need to talk to their team and say, hey, this is a playoff football game. This is a razor-close playoff football game. You guys cannot be sucked into anything that the other side does. You can't retaliate. Nothing.
This personal foul is going to take the ball into Lower Dauphin territory, and it'll be spotted at the 46-yard line. Dead ball personal foul on the Falcons. Second time we've seen that tonight. Third one overall. Rams just had one called on them a couple minutes ago. With 7:43 to play in the third quarter, tied at 7. Rams attack the end zone to our right as they have it on the LD 46. Shotgun for Payton, receiver each way. Now man of motion away from us, serve. Fake to serve. Payton keeps. Tries to bounce to the outside. Gets hammered by Hatalowicz. And forward progress will be stopped just shy of the 45-yard line. Second down upcoming for the Rams with 7:19 to play in the third quarter. And again, I go back to the point that I don't think either one of these coaches, now you take away the personal fouls, obviously, but I don't think either one of these coaches care that this game is the style that it is right now. I think they're both rather comfortable.
They both like it, but I don't think Coach McNamee likes the fact that his offense really has had as much trouble as they have just getting a couple first downs in this game.
Payton will throw far side. Pass caught by a diving Deshaun Paul up to the 40, or down to the 40. Give him inside the 40 to the 39 on a 5-yard pickup, and that's going to bring up 3rd down and short. Deshaun Paul, that's his first reception of the season. It's officially a gain of 7 yards. Eli Robinson will come in as the extra blocking back this time along with Ryan Elliott. Dylan Weaver and Deshaun Paul will step out for a moment. We hit 6:20 to play here in the third quarter. Rams break the huddle. Elliott's going to come wide to the near side. Payton will be under center. They've got a full stack backfield as the handoff will go to Serb. Extra blocker. Serb squirts through there. 25-20, 15-10, 5. Touchdown, Raleigh Serb. 39-yard touchdown run with the extra blockers in front of him. And with 6:03 to go in the third quarter, CD has reclaimed the lead at 13-7.
And just like that, one play. In a tight game like we've had here tonight, it just takes one play. We saw the pick six, the 40-yard touchdown run, or 40-yard touchdown pass from Clark to Domovich earlier. And here, out of the blue, a 39-yard touchdown run from Raleigh Serb. And all of a sudden, CD has found themselves back in front in this ballgame.
That's usually the package they go to around the goal line with Eli Robinson as the extra fullback. Petrina to hold. Kirshner's end-over-end is up, and it is good. Our new score was 6:03 to play in the third quarter. Central Dauphin is in front 14-7. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM.
The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding that might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
6:03 to play here in the third quarter. Central Dauphin back in front 14-7. That Rams touchdown brought to you by the Lingolstown Fire Company. Tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. stop by the Lingolstown Fire Company at 5901 Lingolstown Road for a PSP Strong benefit. Amy Lamb will be on hand with a group of volunteer Pennsylvania State Police wives to sell PSP Strong apparel. All proceeds benefit the families of the late Corporal Brian Dixon and Trooper Alex Douglas, who were shot during the Blooming Grove ambush back on September 12th. All sales are cash only, and the event will run until 1 p.m. or until the merchandise is sold out. For more information, visit PSPStrong.com. Pop-up kickoff is going to be fielded by Zeiters at his 8. He comes across the 20 up to the 25, is spun around, still carrying the pile up to the 29, and he's going to be stopped there. And that's where the LD offense will take over, first and 10 with 5:55 to play here in the third quarter.
Well, we've seen Lower Dauphin respond once, being down by a touchdown in the first half. They have been able to, more so certainly than Central Dauphin in this game, they've been able to mix the run with the pass as clock has been effective in this game, 9 for 17, 114 yards so far. But we'll see how they choose to attack here, and well, it won't be a Talmadge out of the backfield this time.
Certainly won't. Pistol, it's got two receivers each way for clock. Throws your side on the curl to Domovich. They burn CD's defense all night with that, as Domovich will get across the 35 to the 37 on a gain of 6, and that'll bring up third down and 4. The clock has loved that route tonight. Doesn't matter who the corner's been over on that side of the field. That time it was David Payton, but they continue to work on that side of the field with Domovich. Arshon Downing is out there now, by the way. He is at the corner on the far side, the left side, as we see it, of the CD defense. Pistol formation for clock. Hatalovich is the deep back. Two receivers on the field form out of that formation. Hand off Hatalovich up the middle. Stop shy of the 40-yard line at the 39 for a gain of 2. And enough for the Falcons' first down with 5:14 to play in the third quarter.
Well, just keep feeding Hatalovich pretty much all game. He's been the only runner for this Lower Dauphin team. He has 18 carries, 51 yards. Not much, but he's certainly able to keep the interest of the defense and open things up for clock throwing the ball.
Zeiters and Swartz far side. It's Morrill and Domovich near side. So again, empty for clock. Low snap. The junior looks. Throws over the middle. Pass is tipped and almost intercepted. Adam Thornton got his hand on it. Mike Betts could not hang on to it. Either way, it'll bring up third down. Second down for this Falcons offense. They have liked that little short pass over the middle or to the side here, and it's worked pretty effectively. That time Thornton got his hand on it.
Yeah, good job by the Rams secondary players there, because they kind of almost expected that was coming, and almost a bad throw by Clark.
Double tight, near side, trips far side, Hatalovich in the Wildcat. He'll run to the left side, gets hit and upended by Payton as he gets across the 40-yard line up to the 44 on a gain of four. That'll bring up third down and six with 4:37 to play in the third quarter. Central Dauphin is in front, 14-7. The Falcons on offense here in this series, attacking the end zone to our left. Now Hatalovich will go out. And they take out the extra tight end that time. Romage is out. They'll go empty again for Clock. Two receivers each way. Third and six from the 44-yard line. Clock in the pistol. Takes a low snap. Looks near side. Pass is caught again by Domovich. Spun down by Thornton just at midfield. But it is enough for the conversion on third down and another Falcons first down with 4:07 to play in the quarter.
And again, the safety blanket all night has been Domovich. That is his seventh catch of the game. He has the touchdown, and he also has 94 yards total, including that 40-yard touchdown in the first half.
This passing game by LD, aside from the middle screen to Ross early in the game and then the touchdown to Domovich, nickel and diming its way down the field, but it is very effective. Low pistol snap. Hatalovich gets the handoff, gets just over midfield into CD territory at the 49 of the Rams on a pickup of one, and that'll bring up second down and nine as we're under 3.5 to go in the third quarter. 14-7 our score here tonight. Lower Dauphin and CD locked up here in the District 3 Quad A quarterfinals. Winner will go on to the semifinals and face either Governor Mifflin or Cumberland Valley. And right now it's looking like it will be a trip to Shillington for the winner, as Governor Mifflin is in control of that game down there. Pistol for Clock. Romage switches from left to right. They fake the delay. Clock pumps, throws out of the backfield, passes in and out of the hands of Zeiters. Betts got over for the coverage, but Zeiters, had he held on to that one, had daylight.
Yeah, it was almost like a flanker wheel pattern that time as Zeiters was, as you said, he had room over there. He would have made the catch. He could have ran for about 10, 15 yards at least, but that's a long cross-field throw for Clock because he's going to the wide side of the field, the ball all the way over on the left hash mark.
No double tights again. Two receivers each way. Empty four. Clock on third and 10 from midfield. Snap, low. Clock looks to his right, fires that way, passes, caught again. This time it's Swartz. He will have the first down, down to the Central Dauphin 40-yard line with 2:48 to go in the quarter. So another third down conversion for this Falcons offense, Steve.
Yeah, they have been really well, or done really well on third down. Their drive early in the game was relatively impressive. They converted a couple third downs. Here they're converting their second third down on this drive. So Lower Dauphin remembering that you have three shots at getting that first down, and they're using it.
Morrow will come out wide on the near side. Domovich far side. Pistol for Clock. Deep back is Satalovich. First and 10 from the CD 40. Low snap. Clock pumps. He will throw to his right. Pass down the sideline is caught by Domovich on the far side, and he's driven out of bounds, but not before he sets up first and goal for this Falcons offense.
That was just a great throw and catch from Clock to Domovich. The ball was right on the money. Domovich had to go up, and he was the only guy that had a shot at the ball there. Just a perfect pass from Clock. And Domovich has him in scoring position trying to retaliate.
First and goal from the CD 5 with 2:21 to play in the quarter. LD attack in the end zone to our left. They will send out Morrow wide to the near side. It is Swartz far side. Hatalovich the deep back. Pistol for Clock. On first and goal, Clock takes a snap, turns, hands off to Hatalovich. Hatalovich up the middle is stopped as he gets to the line of scrimmage, and then he's stopped right there for no gain. That'll bring up second and goal with 2:10 to play in the quarter. And we'll go Wildcat here, it looks like, as Clock is going to step out, and then we'll bring in the extra blocker. Keep an eye on Hatalovich here. Keep an eye on him no matter what down and distance it is.
Yeah, it's hard to not keep your eye on him.
Double tight left side of the formation. Morrow far side, Hatalovich in the Wildcats. Second and goal for the Falcons. And a motion away from us, the direct snap to the junior tailback. He will throw it over the jump pass, and it's intercepted by Jordan Hatcher. Jordan Hatcher stepped in front of the jump pass, so there is the throw by Hatalowicz, but the senior safety for Central Dolphins steps in front of it and picks it off to stop the drive.
That was a huge play by Hatcher because he's the safety, and he can see things happen, and he sees the tight end just pop out right past the line of scrimmage, and he had good view of that, and he made a play on the football. He knew that pass was coming, and again, we were asking about it earlier. Are they ever going to let Hatalowicz actually throw the ball? I thought they might try it with Morrill on the outside, but instead they go for the jump pass and a big play by Jordan Hatcher.
Peyton under center on first down will hand off to Serb. Serb has stood up and hammered as he gets back to the line of scrimmage and has stopped there for no gain. So that'll bring up second and 10. And I'm going to say this too, because even though the play didn't work out, that is a very, very gutsy call by Rob Clark down there too. And I like the call. I love the call, as a matter of fact, because it appeared that they were trying to set up CD's defense for that the entire night out of that formation. Just a great play by the heads up senior safety.
Yeah, and it's almost as if they were setting that up the whole season so far, because again, he did not attempt to pass all year, and they've run that wildcat from time to time all season.
Peyton's under center on second down, serve as the deep back. Peyton will keep. He will roll on your side. He has got a wall, and David Peyton to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 midfield, down the near sideline, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, but there is a penalty flag all the way back at the 41-yard line.
It's coming back. It's not coming all the way back, but it's coming back. Ziders couldn't make the play, but he was there enough to get held or pushed in the back right around midfield.
That wipes out a 97-yard touchdown by Peyton that would have broken this game open.
They're going to call the penalty at the lower Dolphin 49, so it's going to go back to the CD 41. But Peyton will get credit for a 48-yard run.
And again, they had the extra blocker in that time in Eli Robinson. So what Glenn McNamee and his offense have done inside the goal, inside the five, inside the red zone, they've done now in a couple of plays that are way outside the red zone, and it's worked effectively in bringing in the extra blocker in Robinson. A.J. Millar is going to come in to give Peyton a blow here on first and 10 from the CD 41. So the penalty takes it back to the CD 41, negates the 97-yard touchdown run. Serb gets the handoff, gets a block from McNeil, gets to the outside. Hatalowicz and Brins are giving chase, and they will escort Serb to the far sideline, but not before he gets up to the 47 on a gain of 6. That's going to take us under 20 seconds now to go in the third quarter.
Now you see Central Dolphin trying more and more to get to the edge because they have seen their speedy guys have some success on the outside. When Serb busted through the line of scrimmage, he outran the defense, so you want to use that speed when you can as we head to the fourth.
Three quarters are in the books. We'll swap ends, and when we come back, CD will have it second down and 4. Rams lead at 14-7. We'll go to the fourth quarter. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM.
The Burrow Bar and Grill in Hummelstown has casual dining with a family atmosphere. Burrow Bar and Grill has burgers, steaks, seafood, pasta, and of course, their wings, champions of the Central Pennsylvania Wing Quest 2012. The Burrow Bar and Grill also has the NFL and college football packages on their flat-screen TVs. The Burrow Bar and Grill kitchen is open from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. daily. They're located on East Main Street in Hummelstown at the fork in the road. The Burrow Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Lower Dolphin and Bishop McDevitt Athletics. GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dolphin football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Start the fourth quarter. Central Dauphin has it. Second down and four. They lead Lower Dauphin 14-7. Rams now attack the end zone to our left with A.J. Millar at quarterback. First play of the fourth quarter. Snap, handoff to serve, trying to go up the middle. We'll get across the 50 into LD territory, and he'll be stopped after the gain to the 49-yard line on a pickup of five and a first down for the Rams offense with 11:53 to play.
That's still a big pickup. Central Dauphin now has the lead. They have it here in the fourth quarter, so the clock is your friend. Every first down you get, you just keep the football on the ground. That's not going to be a problem for this Central Dauphin team or coaching staff at this point. I don't think they have any interest in throwing the football right now.
Yep, certainly does not appear that way. Serb will go in motion away from us again on first down. Hand off to Serb, cuts to the outside, is spun around shy of the 45 at the 46. A gain of, they'll call it 47, a gain of two that time. So that'll bring up second down and eight. And you just updated me on the score.
Yeah, it's all over, but the crying.
At the switch of the quarter there. Governor Mifflin's going to beat Cumberland Valley tonight. That game is in the mercy rule. So Governor Mifflin will host the winner of this game here next Friday night down in Shillington.
Yeah, it's third quarter now. 35-0 is the score. Also, Wilson leads Manheim Township 21-7 in the third.
And then the winner of CD East's game tomorrow would get Wilson next week. Peyton will be back in at quarterback, fakes to serve, trying to bounce to the outside. Peyton's going to lose a yard as he's going to get tripped up, trying to break to the near side. That's going to bring up third down.
Good job by Talwich, swatting at his ankles, just trying to squirt out towards the outside. Let's look at the other scores while we have a chance here. Triple A, these are all third quarter scores now. Redland 28, Conrad Weiser 14. Cocalico leads West York 21-6. Daniel Boone leads Milton Hershey 28-10. Double A, halftime, Berks Catholic 35, Newport nothing. So that one's pretty much over. Fourth quarter, Wyomissing leads Bermuda Springs 19-7. And we'll say the single A scores here in a minute.
Peyton in that shotgun set, Serb. Goes out, Peyton rolls out to the far side, now tucks, and he is going to be tracked down back at the 48 by Chad Ray. Good pursuit that time by the junior defensive tackle. That will bring out the punting unit for the Rams with 9:56 to play. Although the clock continues to run, but CD will punt here on fourth down.
Single A scores. Camp Hill leads the Lone Catholic 10-0, and York Catholic leading Steel High 16-0.
If form holds here tonight, we'll talk a little bit about Mifflin in our post-game show tonight, but Governor Mifflin and CD have met twice in recent history. Last time was in districts, and CD walked out of there with a 35-26 win. That was back in 2010, as Kirshner will punt this one away. He gets away a low end-over-end, going to hit at the 32. It's going to take the 28. It's going to take a favorable roll back to the 32, and LD will start first and 10 from its own 32 with 9:16 to play. CD's up 14-7.
I can remind everyone that we've got football tomorrow afternoon. Myself and Eric will be over at Arnold Field in Anvil for Lebanon Valley's final game of the season. The Flying Dutchman started off 0-5 on the season, but they currently sit at 3-6, and they play their arch rival Albright tomorrow afternoon, kickoff 1 o'clock.
Looking forward to that one. As the towel, which will be in the Wildcat again. Tight end moves from right to left. Parsons giving chase and will drag Hatalovich down back across the 30 at the 29 on a loss of three. And for Micah Parsons, that now is his 25th tackle for loss this season. Just a freshman.
Yeah, that's pretty much an oh crap moment for George Talwich, because he took a step to the right and looked up, and there's a big green number 90 looking at him right in the face. Because whoever was assigned to block Parsons did not.
I'm going to empty the backfield now for Clock on 2nd and 13 from his 29-yard line. Two each way. Clock's going to roll out to his left. Throws. Pass is low and intended on the far side for Zeiters. Incomplete. Reed Albright had the coverage at time for the Rams with 8:31 to play. Mention that LVC Albright game tomorrow. That's going to be the final game for 25 LVC seniors, including Zach Wireman, who played his high school ball right here at Central Dauphin.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been a key contributor for that team.
Should be a fun game tomorrow. Of course,
Of course, they're playing for a day off.
A day off. Absolutely. Yeah. The day before Thanksgiving. If LVC wins, they can walk up to the president's house and request a day off.
That's right.
Last year, you and I did that game down at Albright. That turned into a rout, but LVC still won the MAC as Clock will drop the throw. Near side pass is incomplete over the head of his intended receiver, Morrill. And that will bring up fourth down with 8:25 to play.
Yeah, Morrill had double coverage over there between Downing and Hatcher. So a big defensive stand there by the Rams. And now LD has to punt the football away with 8:25 left. And they're down by a touchdown, so CD can certainly try to burn more time off this clock.
Fry and Gaston standing at the hashes each way. Robinson almost got in there for the block. Hatcher, or rather Fry, is going to run up and field. He's into LD territory, 45, and then he's hit shy of the 40 at the 42-yard line. So CD's going to have plus territory starting field position here with 8:14 to go. Game's still hanging in the balance here, but the Rams do have a 14-7 lead. And you kind of get the feeling that one more score here, if the Rams can tack one on, is going to do it. The way their defense has played here tonight, for the most part.
Yeah, but I certainly think Lord Offen is the more equipped of the two to put some quick strikes on the board.
Yep, certainly agree with that. As Serb comes in motion towards us, hand off to Serb, tries to bounce to the outside. Hatalwich basically cuts off the outside and forces him back inside, and he and Ben Ross converge for the stop, and that will bring up second down and 8 with 8 minutes to go here in the contest. Rams attack the end zone to our left, up 14-7.
And Central Dolphin has looked most dangerous in this game when they've gotten to the corner. And they've stayed away from that inside defensive front that Lowered often has. It's been real tough sledding north and south. But if they can get to the borders, we've seen a couple of big runs.
Man in motion, Serb away from us. Give to Serb. Good block by McNeil, but Serb has to cut back. And then good pursuit that time on the cutback. Jake Brinzer, nice job there along with Jared Borelli and also Chad Ray. And we have an injured C.D. Ram on the field, and it's Dylan Hobbs. Dylan Hobbs, the starting left tackle, 6'3", 240-pound senior, is down, and we will take time out here with 7:23 to go. 14-7 Central Dolphin leads it. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill. Two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
Here at Speed Eversole Stadium, Eric Thomas and Steve Leedy with you. 7:23 to go here in the game as Dylan Hobbs is assisted off the field. Rams will switch up some personnel. Steven Veronicus and also Thomas Whitcomb are in there along that offensive line now as Hobbs will walk off to the sideline here. Rams have it 14-7 lead, 3rd and 6 from the lowered off and 38-yard line as CD attacks the end zone to our left, trying to salt this one away and get onto the district semifinals for the first time in 2 years. Millar will keep, and he's going to be hit and pushed backwards right away as it is Ray and Ross again on the stop, and that's going to bring up fourth down and send out the Rams punting unit.
Now the LD defense did what they needed to do there. They need to get the ball back, get it back quickly. And they're going to force a punt here from the 40-yard line. Although if you have a good fake, not a bad area to do it in.
Really surprise anybody if we saw that here. They do have Fry and Downing who are out there. Serb is also out there. Reed Albright, who's a good athlete, is also out there. So as Kirshner field, Kirshner waits, takes his time, gets away an end over end. He got run into, and then a sliding fair catch at the 10-yard line by Zeiter. CD sideline wants a penalty. They're not going to get it.
No, I don't think he's going to get that.
Kirshner does a nice job to try to induce the flag, but no dice that time.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's playing with a little fire back there with how he went to punt that football. He took a lot of time. I think unnecessarily so. But, yeah, he almost drew a penalty, but does not. But now Lower Dolphin finds themselves back inside their own 15-yard line here at their own 11. A lot of yards to go.
Staring down a 89-yard field here with Hatalowicz and the Wildcat. Takes the direct snap, goes right up the middle. Eli Robinson is there for the initial contact. And it'll stop forward progress as Hatalowicz gets up to the 13 for a 2-yard pickup. And that'll bring up second down and 8 as the clock will wind under 6 minutes to play here before LD gets this next snap off.
How big is that play by Jordan Hatcher? The interception on the jump pass attempt. Lower Dolphin was just marching right down the field, looking to go ahead, or looking to tie this game right back up. And it's one play. In games like this, defensive battles, one play can make the difference.
Trips far side, Hatalowicz and the Wildcat again on second down and 8. Hatalowicz will run off to his right, and McNeil is there to hit him for the stop. And that's going to bring up third down now as Domovich and Zeiters come back out and clock will come back out. So it looks like they'll scrap the cat here as Hatalowicz will step out.
Yeah, I don't think the Wildcat is really that effective now, because do you really think Coach Clock's going to have him throw it again? That time they lined three players up on the left side and only two were out there covering.
Temperature dips into the low 30s here in the fourth quarter. It's a low snap to Clock. Heavy pressure coming as Clock throws off his back foot. Pass is caught by Domovich up to the 20-yard line, but he is going to be about a yard shy of the first down. Needed to get to the 21, and he stopped right at the 20.
Well, this is going to be an interesting call now.
Down by 7, 4:42 to play. And the LD defense hasn't played bad, but really, you know, you have to kind of to wonder if you're Rob Clock, as it looks like they're going to call, and they are going to call for a measurement. Actually, Lower Dolphin has called timeout here, and I don't blame them as well, with 4:42 to play.
Well, I think they're going to seriously consider going for it here, because if you, you give the football back to CD. I mean, LD does have two timeouts left. And you have faith in your defense, but it's fourth and a yard.
I think it's primarily what you're looking at is how many more opportunities are we going to have in this game, even with two timeouts?
Yeah.
And, you know, Rob Clock showing no fear tonight in his play calling. The jump pass with Hatalowicz, they've stayed true to form with the Wildcat. We knew we were going to see a heavy dose of that tonight, so I tend to think that he's going to gamble a little bit here. And I mean, really, down by 7 with 4:42 to go, I don't consider it a gamble at all.
Hey, they're going to leave the offense on the field.
So here it is, 4th and 1. Brinzer, Hatalowicz are in the backfield. It is Morrill to the near side. Clock under center on 4th and 1 from the 20-yard line. Lowered off and down by 7. We'll hand off to Hatalowicz. He will have the first down. Hatalowicz, 35, 40, 45 midfield and dragged down from behind by Malik Fry as he gets into CD territory all the way down to the 44-yard line.
Wow. A 35-yard run for Hatalowicz. Man, CD threw everything right at the center of the line. But the problem is, when you do that, if they bust through, there is no one left in a huge game.
How automatic has Lowered Offen been on third down tonight?
Oh, man, they've been clutch, but that was fourth down.
Fourth and third down, I beg your pardon. As Clock throws off his back foot, pass is caught by Ross, 40-yard line, spun around, hit, and then dropped. Point being, when they have had to pick it up tonight, Lowered Offen has done an effective job, whether it is third or fourth down. They have done an effective job here tonight. That's a five-yard gain that time from Clock to Ross. That'll bring up second and five as LD gets the ball inside the CD 40 at the 39-yard line with 3:49 to play. Domovich, Morrow far side. It is Swartz and Zeiter's near side. Empty set for Clock. 3:39 to play. Clock looks to his left. Fires pass caught on the curl by Domovich right at the first down stick on the far sideline. And he will have enough for the LD first down with 3:33 to play.
Wow, Domovich has 10 catches in this game, 148 yards and the touchdown in the first half.
It's not the best passing output by an opponent against CD this season. That would be Susquehanna Township and Ben Moser, but by far the best receiving night anybody has had against Central Dauphin's defense. And it is a maligned secondary now facing a first and 10 here as LD has at the CD 34. Snap to Clock, looks to his left, now he looks right. Clock going to take off, throw over the middle, pass is caught by Swartz, who is stuck as he gets inside the 25, down to the 24 on a 10-yard pickup and another first down conversion as CD has a shaken up player on the field. And it is freshman defensive end Micah Parsons who is slow to get up. And he is going to step out for a breather as Justin Salek will replace him. More importantly, LD has it first and 10 from the CD 23-yard line. 3:05 to play. Falcons attacking the end zone to our right, trailing by 7. Two receivers each way. Snap the clock. Looks to his left. Fires. Pass caught by a diving Morrow out of bounds. Got his feet down at the 21. It's only a 2-yard completion, but a great job that time by Morrow to stay in bounds, keep the toes down, and pick up the get the catch.
Yeah, it's only a 2-yard gain, but honestly, I think it is the right call because he did get, I thought he got the feet down first. He landed with the ball out of bounds, but I think his feet did touch inbounds.
Second and 8 from the Central Dauphin 21. Domovich and Morrow far side. It is Swartz and Zeiter's near side. Empty for Clock. Second and 8. 2:55 to play. Clock looks to his left. Fires the fade down in the end zone, and it's knocked away. David Payton had the coverage that time. The intended receiver was Domovich, and it looked like Domovich actually got a hand on it but couldn't get the second one up to try to snag it away from Payton. How about the job David Payton's done tonight? Extensive action tonight at corner, and he has played pretty well.
Yeah, that was good coverage right there. He's with Domovich the whole way.
Third and 8 now for Lower Dauphin with 2:50 to play. Falcons have it at the CD 21-yard line. Swartz and Zeiter's near side. Morrow and Domovich far side. It is Domovich lined up wide. Payton on him. Shotgun or pistol rather for Clock. Heavy pressure. Clock throws. Pass is incomplete. Intended for Swartz. Falls incomplete. That'll bring up fourth down with 2:45 to go.
Central Dauphin brought the pressure from that side. They brought the corner in, leaving it one-on-one on the outside receiver and just safety help on the slot receiver. But it paid off there as Clock had to hurry it out. And now a huge play here, fourth down and 8.
Essentially, maybe, perhaps, the last gasp for LD's offense here. Two receivers each way, fourth and 8 from the CD 21-yard line. 14-7 Rams lead it. Clock in the pistol, takes the snap, looks to his right, rolls out to his right. Pressure coming, Clock gets set, fires on the middle, pass is intercepted. It is intercepted by Adam Thornton for the second time tonight. Thornton will come up with the pick, and that will stop the LD momentum with 2:34 to play, and CD will take over up 14-7.
Clock has stepped up in the pocket. He was going to roll to his right, but Micah Parsons was being blocked over the way that he wanted to roll out, so he had to just step up into the pocket, and he fired down over the middle, and he threw it right between two Central Dauphin defenders, and Thornton makes his second pick of the night, and now the Rams have it with 2:34 to go. Lower Dauphin with two timeouts left, so if they can stop him, they can get the football back.
Excellent point about the timeouts. Rams go with the extra blocker as Eli Robinson will come in, and Central Dauphin will have to burn a timeout now to get everybody set along that line. So 2:34 to go. The Rams will call a timeout here up 14-7 in a game that has been as expected, low scoring, minimal offense, rushing attacks, really, we thought for both teams coming in were going to be the key, but it's been lower Dauphin's ability to throw the football, and ultimately that might be what cost them the game here tonight, too.
Yeah. You can't say anything bad about Clock and his effort tonight.
Absolutely not.
He's played certainly the best game that I've seen him play this year, because I've only seen him against Middletown and Northern, and those were blowouts. But for the most part, he's been on the money here tonight. And that last play, it's just a good play by the CD defense to make him uncomfortable. And he had to make a play one way or another. I mean, he had to throw it. It was fourth down. So even despite it getting picked, I mean, he had to get rid of it to try to make a play.
First and 10 from the 20. Payton will take the snap. Hand off to Serb, running off the right side. Serb cuts back to stay in bounds. Twists around, and he's taken down shy of the 30 at the 28. So an 8-yard pickup will bring up second and 2, but more importantly, Serb stayed in bounds that time. As the clock will continue to run, and you got to wonder when Rob Clock's going to call his timeouts here to preserve the time. As it looks like McNeil and Serb, as they get up off the sideline, the far sideline, are a little hobbled. McNeil seems to be favoring his right leg that time. And with 1:57 to go, the Rams are going to have to hustle here because they're down to 7 seconds on the play clock. So Payton gets set on second and 2 with 2 on the play clock, takes the snap, hands off to Serb. Serb is going to squirt through the line of scrimmage and get up to the 30-yard line and should have enough for that first down to keep the chains moving.
They just waving forward. No need for a measurement. So now Lower Dauphin may have to use their timeouts. And I think that's why they didn't call it on the last play, to see if they made, got enough for the first down there. They won't use them yet, though.
Clock continues or starts to wind up now with 1:25 to go. 10 on the play clock, so the Rams break the huddle as they will step out on first and 10. Payton will be under center again. They got the extra blocker and Eli Robinson up there along with McNeil. Handoff will go to Serb. Serb, Brinzer, got good push that time and will stop Serb just quick enough. And LD is going to call its second timeout with 1:09 to play here, down 14-7.
All right, well, that'll give us a chance to look at the scoreboard here, the rest of the District 3 playoff games. Quad A, well, these games are all in the fourth quarter. Wilson leading Manheim Township 21-7. Governor Mifflin has added another against Cumberland Valley. It's now 42-0 in favor of Mifflin. AAA, Redland beating Conrad Weiser 41-14. Cocalico leading West York 28-12. Daniel Boone leading Milton Hershey 28-16. And AA, they're pretty much both over. Berks Catholic leads 48-0 over Newport. Wyomissing has beaten Bermudian Springs 26-7. That is the one final score. Class Single A, still 2 shutouts. Fourth quarter, Camp Hill 17, Dillon Catholic 0. And York Catholic 16, Steel High 0.
Winner this game with 1:09 to go. If it's centered off, and they will be on the road next week at Shillington, or in Shillington, to take on Governor Mifflin, the number 2 seed in the district. As Serb will get the handoff on 2nd and 11. Cuts back again, spins around, stays in bounds, most importantly, as the clock will hit 1 minute. And that's where Rob Clock, Lower Dauphin head coach, will opt to stop it for the final time here with 1 minute to go. So CD's facing a 3rd and 11. And Lower Dauphin will be unable to stop the clock anymore here tonight. Coming up on our postgame show, we'll hear from the winning head coach. We're going to try to get both head coaches for you live tonight, down on the field after it's over, but we will definitely hear from the winning head coach here tonight. And we'll run down the scoreboard, the final statistics, and take a quick look ahead to next week's matchup, whoever it's going to be against Governor Mifflin. Right now, with 1 minute to go and a 14-7 lead, it would be CD if they can hang on here and try to convert or get the conversion here on third down. But either way, they can keep the clock running as long as they stay in bounds and then burn a timeout and then maybe punt with just a couple of seconds left.
Yes, Lower Dauphin probably can get the ball with maybe 20 seconds or so left.
Hey, the way Domovich and Clock have worked together tonight, you never know. as McNeil will be the lead man for serve. They line up in a straight eye. It's wing to the far side. Third and 11 now. Payton takes the snap, hands off the serve. Serve to the outside, has a head of steam, gets by Hatalovich for a second, and then Hatalovich will drag him down shy to 30 at the line of scrimmage. So the clock will continue to run. That's going to bring up fourth down, but the play clock has yet to set and start to run. So there's going to be about a 16-second difference between the game and play clock, meaning LD can get the ball here as CD's going to allow the clock to wind down. They're just going to burn their second timeout with about one on the play clock. And then Kirshner will be out to punt it away to the dangerous Adam Zeiters. I have to stress that Zeiters is pretty lethal at the punt return game here. 17.2 seconds left when CD calls the timeout, so we'll have to punt here in 4th and 10.
I don't know that you're worried about Zeiters here. I think LD sends everybody. You saw how Kirshner punted the last time. If he dilly-dallies around, again, Lower Dolphin is going to block this punt because they're going to send everybody. If I'm the Lower Dolphin coaching staff, I am on full-out punt block. Total sellout. You're going to see 10 guys go after the punter. Yeah. I think that's their best shot. If they can get a block, you know, they can either block it back into the end zone or get the football back on the 20-yard line. I think that's their best bet here, and I bet we see 10 guys go straight into the punter.
Rams special teams unit will have Albright, Thornton, and McNeil in as protectors for Kirshner. Fourth and 10. Zeiter standing just outside of his 40-yard line at the 38. Kirshner will punt from right to left. It's a good snap, heavy pressure. Kirshner gets away, an end-over-end that Zeiters runs under at the 42. He gets into open space into CD territory at the 40-yard line. Flag comes in. There's going to be a block, a clip, going to be called on Lower Dolphin to negate the return with 6 seconds to play. And another late flag coming in.
Yeah, Jared Smith is going to be called for a block in the back, an unnecessary one at that. But Zeiters made he made a good return. Lower Dolphin did send everybody. Zeiters did what he could as he had pretty much no blocking help, but he was able to catch that one and keep going over towards the sideline, get a good return. Unfortunately, the penalty is going to bring most of it back.
Let's see here.
Yeah, let's see what this other penalty is.
Well, you have the block in the back on Lower Dolphin.
We definitely saw that one.
And then we have a dead ball personal foul on Central Dolphin.
They're going to have a shot at about the 35-yard line.
6 seconds to go. And barring a penalty, it'll be one down that Tommy Clock and the Lower Dolphin offense have a shot here to try to tie this one up. 14-7, Central Dolphin leads it. And the ball will be spotted at the 36. Rams defensively have Downing, Hatcher, and Payton in the secondary. The line, Robinson and Parsons, the bookends. Gabriel and Williams will swap the tackle spots. Two receivers each way, 6 seconds to go. A shot at the district semifinals on the line here. And a timeout called by Glenn McNamee and Central Dolphin as they will adjust to what they saw here defensively for Lower Dolphin with 6 seconds to play.
Yeah, I'd love to give you some expert color analyst stuff here, but it's just heave it to the end zone and see if your guy can come down with the football.
And defensively, do not commit the penalty.
No, the guy that you're looking for is Domovich. He's 6'2". I mean, he's got to be the primary target. You throw it on the side that he's on, and you just hope he can go up and make a play.
So out of that timeout, Lower Dolphin will come back out to get set. They will have Domovich and Morrill on the near side. It is Swartz and Zeiters on the far side. Clock will stand in the pistols. Hatcher's going to drop back to play center field. Downing and Payton, the corners. The ends, again, are Parsons and Eli Robinson. Rather, it's Justin Salik as Robinson has moved inside. 6 seconds for a shot at the semifinals. Heavy pressure coming. Clock uncorks it. down the field. Pass is going to be intercepted or dropped. It doesn't matter either way. It's knocked away, and Central Dolphins survives. The Rams win it tonight 14-7, and they will advance to play in next Friday night's district semifinals at Governor Mifflin as Tommy Clock and Micah Parsons on the final play are slow to get up.
Yeah.
Parsons is going to have to get helped off the field. Clock gets up on his own volition, but that's going to do it. What a game. 14-7, Central Dolphin wins it. We'll come back with the post-game show. We'll talk to Glenn Macklin. We'll try to also get a word from Lower Dolphin head coach Rob Clock. Rams win it 14-7. This is the District 3 quarterfinals on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dolphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dolphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club. The CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dolphin football team.
Kerman Eye Associates has been serving Hummelstown in the central Pennsylvania area since 1958. Kerman Eye provides general and specialized vision examinations to their patients. They also have eyeglasses, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Kerman Eye has solutions for all of your eye care needs. Kerman Eye is accepting new patients, and the Kerman family are proud LD alumni. That's Kerman Eye, 29 West Main Street in Hummelstown. Their number is 566-3216.
We're still fresh. After 30 years in the making, this is WMSS Middletown.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Lingolstown at 5951 Lingolstown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Back to the Speedway here at Landis Field. Steve Lee along with Eric Thomas. Eric is going down to the field. He's going to try to get Glenn McNamee, the head coach of the victorious Central Dolphin Rams, as they defeat Lower Dolphin here tonight by a score of 14-7. Let's look at the final statistics in this one. For Lower Dolphin, George Italowich, 25 carries, 82 yards. Tommy Clock, 1 carry, 2 yards. Receiving, Adam Domovich, 10 for 148. And one touchdown. Colt Schwartz, 3 catches for 30. Ben Ross, 2 for 19. Evan Morrill, 2 for 7. Adam Zeiders, 1 for 6. Tommy Clock passing. He was 18 of 33, 210 yards. One touchdown and 2 interceptions. Morrill threw a pass that was incomplete. Italowich threw one pass that was intercepted. Team totals for Lower Dolphin in this game. On the ground, 26 carries, 84 yards. 210 through the air, 294 yards of total offense for Lower Dolphin. For Central Dolphin, Raleigh Serve was the leading rusher, 23 carries, 99 yards, and a touchdown. David Payton, 7 carries, 73 yards. A.J. Millar, 2 for 1. Steve McNeil, 1 carry for no gain. Receiving, Deshaun Paul caught the only completed pass for 7 yards. A.J. Millar, 0 for 4. David Payton was 1 for 3 for those 7 yards. Team totals for Central Dolphin, 33 carries, 173 yards on the ground, 7 through the air. 180 yards total offense for Central Dolphin. So they were outgained on the stat sheet, 294 to 180. But they won the only stat that matters, and that's what's on the scoreboard. 14-7 was the final score. The scoring recap, second quarter, Adam Thornton, 27-yard interception return for touchdown, made it 7-0 Central Dolphin. Then Lower Dolphin struck back late in the second quarter. Domovich, 40-yard touchdown reception from Tommy Clock. Ready as extra point, made it 7-7. That's the score at halftime. But then Lower Dolphin scored with 6:03 left to play in the third quarter. Raleigh Serve, a 39-yard touchdown run. Kirshner's extra point made it 14-7 at that point, and neither team was able to score. the rest of the way, and CD wins it 14-7. Now let's take it down to Eric Thomas on the field.
Steve, we're down here on the field with Victoria's head coach, Glenn McAmey. Coach, first off, congratulations on the win tonight.
Thank you.
We kind of figured low scoring, defensive effort. Your defense came up with the big plays time after time tonight.
Yeah, very hard-fought battle. Like we said in pregame, they have a tremendous team. Coach Clock does a very nice job. They're very prepared for this game. I tip my hat to them. And that makes this win even more special that we were able to come out on top.
Did you expect Tommy Clock to throw the ball as effectively as he did tonight? And did you expect Adam Domovich to give you the kind of problems he did tonight?
Before the game, I told you they got the coach's son playing quarterback. He grew up, he lived it, breathed it. He knows the system inside and out. So that's not a surprise at all that he came up big tonight. There's very few surprises as far as how well they played and who did what.
Interesting, you told the team, we heard you tell the team there, we can still get better. What do you have to do next week now against Governor Mifflin, a very run-oriented team, big offensive line down in their building?
We've got to be especially disciplined because they're very sharp. Coach Vecchio does a very nice job in terms of a disciplined attack. We're going to have to match that discipline, and we're going to have to make sure we clean up the mistakes we made tonight, especially on offense. Very much looking forward to watching the film and fixing those things.
Micah Parsons has a penchant for blocking kicks, apparently. He has two more to add to his list here tonight. You've got Adam Thornton with two interceptions, really a whole defensive effort tonight. And also, you got to mention, too, David Payton and the way he played at corner when you stuck him in there.
No question. A lot of guys came up big for us tonight in order to be able to play that kind of a game against that kind of a football team. We're well into November now. It's only going to happen if you have a lot of guys stepping up. We had that tonight. Very pleased by that.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you during the week and also next Friday night down in Chillington. Steve, let's get back up to you. We're going to try to get Rob Clock, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. That is Victoria's head coach, Glenn McAmey, and as he mentioned, they will be marching on to the District 3 Quad A semifinals next week, and they will play Governor Mifflin, who bombed Cumberland Valley tonight. 49-7 was the final score in that one down in Shillington, so that's where Central Dauphin will go to play next week. The other Quad A game that was played tonight, Wilson beats Manheim Township. Is beating Manheim Township, I should say. 21-7, that game not over yet. The other game is Hempfield and CD East. That game will be tomorrow night here at the Speedway. Now let's take it back down to Eric Thomas with Rob Clock.
And Steve, we're back down here with Lower Dauphin head coach Rob Clock. And coach, 14-7 here tonight. Very game effort from your unit, both sides of the football. Just your thoughts on what was a pretty fantastic game here tonight.
Yeah, we were very pleased. Unfortunately, we didn't take advantage of some opportunities that we had, some turnovers that killed us. But, hey, the kids played their hearts out. It was a lot of fun. It really was. And, you know, that's what the sport's all about. And the kids worked hard. You know, would we have liked to have a victory and have them go another week? Absolutely. They've earned it. They deserve it. But you know what? It's not in the cards. And I'm just very proud of this group. They've come a long way.
We kind of figured it was going to be tough sledding on both sides of the ball or both sides of the field here for each rushing attack. Georgia Tallow, which very, very effective still running out of that Wildcat tonight. But Tommy Clock tonight, your son, the quarterback, great job throwing the football and moving your offense.
Yeah, we knew we always had it, but that's not our scheme. You know, now next year I think we have some kids that we could adjust the scheme a little bit more. Tonight we were kind of forced to do it because they have a heck of a defense. Their front four are outstanding. Those two defensive ends, they're the toughest we've seen this year. And then their linebackers scrape beautifully. I love watching them play, quite honestly. But they did make us adjust and made us throw the ball more. And again, I'm really proud of Tommy. He did a great job. Yeah, wish we could have completed a few more and it is what it is.
A couple of chippy moments there that sets each team up there, but it seemed like time after time defenses had to make the stand.
Yeah. Again, they're very similar to us, I think. They really rest on their defense, and that's the foundation of the team. They're going to do very well. I hope they do because they had a great group of coaches and just a great group of guys. And we do the same thing. You know, we rely on our defense. Unfortunately, they busted that darn ISO, got to the end zone. But other than that, you know, we really didn't give up much offensively. You know, we bend but don't break. Unfortunately, the pick six, that kind of sets the tone.
I have to ask you, the jump pass, fantastic call down on the goal line, but Jordan Hatcher, the safety for CD, just made a great play on that.
Yeah, he did. Basically, we practiced that all week because we don't throw much out of the Wildcat. And, you know, the message was, you know, try not to leave it short. And it was a little bit short because Ben was open deep. But, you know, George isn't used to throwing the ball. That's not his forte. He's used to smashing the ball. Well, tonight we couldn't do that, so we gave it a shot. It backfired on us. But, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun scheme. It's nice to try that jump pass. And, boy, it would have been awesome if we would have hit it, huh?
Coach, we really appreciate the help during the week. Congratulations on a fantastic season, and we look forward to seeing you again next season.
Awesome. Thanks a lot,
Eric. Steve, that's Rob Clark, head coach of Lower Dauphin. We'll say-
All right. Thank you very much, Eric, and always a class act, Rob Clark, the head coach of the Lower Dauphin Falcons. We're going to take one final time out here. When we come back, we'll run over all the scores, and we'll wrap things up here from Speed Eversole Stadium at Landis Field. Again, our final score here, it was Central Dauphin 14, Lower Dauphin 7. Back one final time after this. You're listening to District 3 Playoff Football on WMSS.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Halks Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Deli drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net, their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet. The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding and might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
The Burrow Bar and Grill in Hummelstown has casual dining with a family atmosphere. Burrow Bar and Grill has burgers, steaks, seafood, pasta, and of course their wings, champions of the Central Pennsylvania Wing Quest 2012. The Burrow Bar and Grill also has the NFL and college football packages on their flat-screen TVs. The Burrow Bar and Grill kitchen is open from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. daily. They're located on East Main Street in Hummelstown at the fork in the road. The Burrow Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Lower Dauphin and Bishop McDevitt Athletics.
Central Dauphin defeats Lower Dauphin tonight by a score of 14-7. Now let's take a look at all of the other scores tonight. Most of them in our final. Quad A, they're all final. Wilson beat Manheim Township 21-7, and they will next play either Central Dauphin East or Hempfield, that game being played right here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Bottom half of the bracket, of course, Central Dauphin will go over to Shillington to play Governor Mifflin, who walloped Cumberland Valley tonight 49-19. Class AAA, the upper half of the bracket, of course, Bishop McDevitt playing tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. They play Manheim Central. The winner of that game will get Redland, who beat Conrad Weiser tonight 42-21. Bottom half of the bracket, Daniel Boone beat Milton Hershey 28-14, and Cocalico leads in the fourth quarter over West York 28-18. Class AA, they're in the semifinals tonight. Berks Catholic, Mercy ruling Newport 48-0. Surprised that one's not over. It might as well be over at this point. So it'll be a rematch of the Berks County League 2 championship game as Berks Catholic and Wyomissing will meet in the AA finals. Wyomissing beating Bermudian Springs tonight, 26-7. Bermudian Springs had been unbeaten, and they were the second seed in the AA tournament. In Class Single A, Camp Hill has blanked DeLone Catholic, 17-0, the final score there. And the other game still going on in the fourth quarter, York Catholic leading Steel High, 23-8. As Eric Thomas has now rejoined me back here in the booth after talking to both coaches, and we came here expecting a hard-fought game from both of these teams. We got a hard-fought game from both of these teams, and in games like this, a mistake, a big play, you know, something like that is going to be the difference, and it was here tonight. Central Dauphin getting the pick six and making the interception when Lower Dauphin was down 14-7 there, late in the third quarter, I believe that was. And just a great play by the safety, Jordan Hatcher, and gets the interception, stops LD from scoring. And even though CD loses on the stat sheet, they win on the scoreboard, and that's all that matters.
I don't really think they care about stats. I mean, they care about just moving on to play next Friday night, which they're doing against Governor Mifflin. You know, you think about these things kind of right when they happen, and, you know, it'll take some time to kind of digest this game and maybe have a couple more clear thoughts about it tomorrow. But, you know, man, did LD just empty everything against them tonight? That was such a game effort. And I thought a fantastic game call by Rob Klock. You heard him say that, you know, throwing the football is not their forte, but they knew going into this game that the weak part of CD's defense all season has been their secondary, so they had to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. They had a matchup with Domovich that they liked, 6'2 receiver. CD's had problems with bigger receivers this season. David Payton did an adequate job on him, especially late in the game there, after they made the switch. But, you know, Gary Gaston had problems early in the game. Payton struggled a couple times on some of those curl routes, so they had to do it. They had to exploit it. And, I mean, I just thought they did everything they possibly could to win that football game tonight and literally left everything they could on the field tonight, including the jump pass out of the Wildcat formation. I mean, they dialed everything up that they had to do to win the game. Rob Klock and his staff did a great job. They did everything they could to possibly, you know, get in here and get this victory. But to me, it just says something about this CD team. And I remember saying to Brian Kaiser earlier this season, I said that there's just something about this team, and I don't know what it is yet, and I still have no clue what it is, and we're going to week 13, and they're still playing. So, you know, whatever it is, they right now have a variation of it because they just keep figuring out ways to win football games.
Well, they're going to have a tough task next week because Cumberland Valley, a team that this team could not score against this year, just went down there and got their doors blown off by Governor Mifflin tonight. So it's certainly going to be a tough matchup for the Rams next week. We've seen sillier things happen when you compare, you know, this opponent playing this opponent, beating that opponent by 35 points, and then losing to the other team that beat that team. So yeah, you see silly things like that all the time, but it's going to be a tough road game, tough place to play, tough team. And CD is certainly going to be the underdog next week, but hey, if your defense can hold, and they held pretty much here against Lower Dauphin, if you can hold the other team out of the end zone as best you can, yeah, hopefully your offense can score a couple touchdowns. Any game's winnable.
You know, the defense had problems getting off the field against Cumberland Valley earlier this season. That's a Cumberland Valley offensive line that's not as big as Governor Mifflin is up front. You know, up front, probably doesn't run the ball as effectively as Governor Mifflin does, but still effective enough. And they had problems with it. So if I'm Glenn Mattingly, Sean Rossler, and the coaches, I'm going back to that game and I'm watching that film thoroughly and figuring out what we could have done in that game to get off the field, and then I'm applying that to the game plan for Friday night because they're going to have to come up with stops. They're you know, Mifflin is not going to throw the ball much in that game. We know that. So I think you just have to worry about getting off the field. They have a good rotation with their defensive line. They're pretty deep, but can they get off the field? Can their offense move the ball against Governor Mifflin at all? And, you know, you go back to it and you look at it and say it's pretty obvious that they're going to have to throw the football at some point next week. I'm not sure that they can, because nobody has stepped up to become a primary receiver outside of Justin Salek when they can throw the football to him. He's had to be used as a blocker most of the time. I think the thing that wins that game for CD next week outside of defense is persistence. And it's something that they've had all season long. They keep just it's drip, 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 touchdown. 35-yard touchdown. They got to do that next week. Got to get off the field. They've got to somehow figure out how they can flip the script, so to speak, and keep the momentum on their side and grind the clock out and play the game at their pace. They're fine if it's a 14-7 ball game. They can't come back 14-0. They, you know, if it's 21-0 or something that Cumberland Valley got into tonight, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Look at the other game. You got CD East playing here tomorrow night. They're playing Hempfield. I think most people expect CD East to win, and nothing is assured for sure. But you also have, you know, Wilson on the other side as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're probably going to get a rematch from week two. I think it's, you know, it's going to be Wilson and CD East next week down in Berks County. So both CD teams are going to go down to Berks County and play the top two teams in that area. Obviously, Wilson's and Lancaster, Lebanon. But, you know, East has enough playmakers. Last week, they go with Justice Jacobs, the quarterback, over Jahad Niebauer. Niebauer has a great game defensively, has a pick six, I think got another interception in that game. Jacobs, to me, and a lot of people have said this to me, they think he's the better of the two pure quarterbacks. Niebauer is a good athlete, but Jacobs, in terms of throwing the football, a lot better. They want to throw the football more because they have the weapons to catch it. So maybe they go that route again tomorrow night. I think they're going to get through Hemphill. And, Steve, I got to be honest with you. I think that Wilson, if CD East wins tomorrow night, I think Wilson is getting a vastly different CD East team than what they saw in Week 2. Week 2, not ready for prime time. Week 13 has embraced prime time. That's a dangerous team if they get through tomorrow night against Hemphill.
Well, we'll see what happens here tomorrow night. Of course, we are not done with football here this weekend on WMSS. And WMSSFM.com as Lebanon Valley College gets their final game of the season tomorrow afternoon. And Eric and I will be on the air at 12:45 from Arnold Field as LVC takes on Albright. And again, a great tradition game for LVC is, you know, it doesn't matter what your record is. You're playing for a day off school, darn it. As tradition holds, if LVC beats Albright, they will march to the president's house and demand and hopefully get the day off before Thanksgiving. So they certainly have something to play for, and they certainly have turned things around after an 0-5 start. They won three of their four games in the second half of the season, and the one they lost was up at Lycoming, a tough place to play, and it was an overtime game that they unfortunately lost on a blocked extra point. So certainly LVC has a lot to play for tomorrow, and again, we'll be there at 12:45 and 1 o'clock. Final comments on this one, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that this is just, it was too hard-fought, a hard-fought game by two teams that just like to slug it out. We knew that coming in the game. Was not really surprised to see LD have a little bit more fluidness on the offensive side of the ball. Two great defenses. One just made a couple more plays than the other did, and that's the team that's moving on tonight.
And hats off to both teams for a great contest, and hats off to these lower Dolphin seniors. They have certainly accomplished a lot here in their final game. They had a great season last year, making it all the way to the Western Finals and winning a District 3 championship last year. And this year they make it to the quarterfinals of District 3, but unfortunately for the Falcons, that ends here tonight. So I want to thank everyone involved with our broadcast here tonight, for our studio producer, Tim Neville, for Eric Thomas. This is Steve Lee saying goodnight from Speed Eversole Stadium, Atlantis Field. Our final score here tonight, it was Central Dolphin 14, Lower Dolphin 7. The Rams move on to the District 3 semifinals next week against Governor Mifflin. And you heard this game tonight live on WMSS.
You've been listening to high school playoff football here on WMSS. Tonight's Central Dolphin versus Lower Dolphin game was brought to you by GPS Solutions, Ted's Bar and Grill, Gilligan's 2, the CD Rams Club, the Panther Ram Foundation, Ricker Construction, St. Thomas Roasters, and Kerman Eye Associates. Your home for the best in high school football, WMSS 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.